Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's Monday, and we're hoping to put on a good show for you. 312-981-7200 is our number if you want to jump in.
It's great to have hopes and dreams, Bill. It really is. Hoping to have a good show.
We're hoping. We can't guarantee anything, but it should be a good one.
We sure had fun at the Bolingbrook Golf Club on Friday.
Wasn't that nice?
Steve, did you have fun there? There were so many people. Thank you to everyone who came out.
The house was packed.
I tried to shake everyone's hand before they left, and I might have missed a couple of people.
No.
Including an old friend who left before I could even say hello to her.
Oh, that's too bad. We'll do another one sometime.
All right. It was my high school boyfriend's mother.
Oh.
Ooh.
So I wanted to...
Sorry I didn't meet her.
Yeah, me too. That would have been interesting.
I would love to heard the older Wendy stories.
Oh, I was the best.
When does her book come
no
out?
No one believes that.
I don't know when her book
Steve
comes out.
Steve interviews authors with some regularity. Could she come on and talk about that book?
Sure.
That would be too adult for even adults.
No.
No?
It was high school and first year of college.
Yeah, and?
And she would have nice things to say.
Probably. But that doesn't sell books.
That's why it's not coming out. There were so many people there, and I saw friends from other radio stations who popped in to say hello. Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the odds? One of my former babysitters was there, Judy, and Judy has the gift of gab, as we say.
That's what you told me.
She has the gift of gab. She'll talk your ear off, unless she's on the radio, in which case she's very, very quiet. One-word answers.
Listen, it's one thing to be on the radio. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to be on the radio when you have a full crowd of people staring in front of you. I mean, she was a babysitter. She entertained you and your brother, not a whole room of people.
That's true, but like we've known her, she really started babysitting for me when I was like 6 or 7 months old, and then that went up until just 2 or 3 years ago. And I told my wife, you know who was there? Judy was there, my old babysitter. And Terry said, I thought the show was only 2 hours on Friday. I go, yeah, but her
We only needed 30 seconds
right,
with
that
her.
That was it. Her answers were very succinct.
Well, she didn't want to embarrass you, and it sounds like at that point in your life, you weren't embarrassing anyone.
I was just
anyone.
A baby.
Yeah.
I was just a little
baby. You didn't
baby.
Have time to pull pranks on the babysitter.
No, I was just busy, you know, just drooling mostly at that time in my life.
Speaking of little babies and everything, your girls came home minus one. How did that go this weekend?
I have, as you know, because I've told you, I've had a very difficult time saying goodbye. I did last year with Reese, and now this year with Kylie. It's been very, very difficult. And it's very strange to drop off three people at an airport and then pick them up 5 days later and have them only be two, that you're short a person.
Yeah.
And then most of yesterday was strange, just kind of acclimating to the fact that she's not there. It'll be fine. I'll be okay, but it's been quite a transition. Now, Reese had a celebrity sighting at the airport at LaGuardia that I think you'll enjoy.
Ooh.
This is one of your favorite people in the world. And she saw him. And actually, there's a picture that she had taken with him that I'll show you. And I know there's a way to transfer it to Facebook. I just don't know how to do it.
Oh, my God.
So I'll have my team of...
Yeah, just text it to Kevin, and then Kevin...
I don't know how to do that part either.
Oh, my good Lord.
I know there's a way to do this. Now, I'm going to show you who it is, and I'll see if you... I hope you can identify who it is.
It's someone I like?
Yeah, it's somebody you love.
Uh-oh.
It's somebody you absolutely love.
And this was in LaGuardia?
This was in LaGuardia yesterday morning, but then I'll tell you the story that goes along with it. This is Reese... with somebody famous.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
I can't ever remember his name.
Now, that's exactly the story I'm about
sorry.
To tell you. I'll tell you who it is, but then I'll tell you why this becomes a funny story. It is Saturday Night Live's Pete Davidson.
Yes.
He's been on the show for 2 years.
And
on
I
Saturday
love
Night
him.
Live, as does Reese. She's Reese's favorite guy on Saturday Night Live. So my daughter and my wife are walking through LaGuardia, and then they see him there waiting, not for the plane to Chicago, but a different plane. And Reese goes, oh, it's Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live. And Terry goes, well, let's get a picture with him. So she walks over, and as she's approaching him, his name just escapes her.
That would happen to me.
She's about to address him.
I looked at him and said, I love him. I couldn't even think his first name.
So she says, hey, it's Saturday Night Live guy, which is kind of true, but not the way you want to be addressed.
That's like an SNL bit.
I know.
She's now going to be a character.
Well, he thought that was very funny. He goes, yes, that's me. I'm Saturday Night Live guy. And she felt embarrassed because she goes, I know your name. And he also knew his name. So he told
What's his name?
It's Pete Davidson. So then Reese, as a way of getting some conversation going, was going to tell Pete Davidson that she just met Colin Jost, who was a guest on our show a little over a month ago. And as she's telling him that, she blanks on his name as well.
Oh, my God.
And she goes, the other Saturday Night Live guy. And he thought that was very funny. He goes, yeah, we don't go by names. We just call each other Saturday Night Live.
That's going to be on Weekend Update, you know, when he comes in to do his stoner bit.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live guy. So then, so they talked for a little bit, and she said how nice he was. And his girlfriend was there, and Reese kept saying, she can get in the picture with us, too. And he said, no, that's not how celebrity pictures work. It's the celebrity and the person who runs into the airport. You don't include their friends and family.
Well, thank God he's, you know, admitted that openly, because you never know what to do in that situation. He is so great, and we have been trying to get him.
For almost 2 years.
Yes. Because his father was one of the first responders, a firefighter, and died at 9/11.
Yeah.
And with 9/11 coming up, we've been trying to book him every year to talk about that.
I know.
And SNL doesn't let their people
their
do stuff.
Their publicity department is very tough on what gets through.
Which, you know, is maybe a reason why it was so easy to get Jay Farrow.
Because
he's no longer there.
Yeah, that might have been a red flag.
Colin Jost when he's in town, yeah, but they don't let go of their people.
Yeah, I know. All right, we need to talk about something else, something big that happened over the weekend that you and I attended separately. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Spill left. It's Wendy Snyder, and we want to chat about something we did this weekend, not together.
All kinds of crazy things going on in Chicago, from the Pearl Jam concert to the Air and Water show to Comic-Con in Rosemont. We had a couple of guests on during the week. Ralph Macchio was on with us. Leah Thompson was on with us to talk about Comic-Con. I went on Thursday. You went on Saturday,
yep.
Did you go? Yeah. What did you think? Were you impressed?
I have realized I like it, but my three boys, Jim included, they love it because they buy a ton of stuff.
Oh, they do.
It's like a big shopping spree.
Sure.
And I like looking at people dressed up. There was a really creative costume. I was trying to show you off the air. Did you ever watch Adventure Time?
Mm-mm.
Do you know what Adventure Time is?
Mm-mm.
It's a cartoon, and there are two characters, Jake the dog, who's yellow, and then there is Finn, his friend, that wears a white hat like mm-hmm. I'm showing you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim saw that hat, Finn, with a bloody handprint on it. And he goes, that's terrible. That's a kid's show. Think of Star Wars, the new movie, with Finn and the blood
so
on the...
Oh, he combined the two.
It was very creative. Wow. It was. And then I saw families that were... there was Deadpool and some vampire and two little babies that were adorable and just had Superman onesies on. I mean, they didn't really dress the kids up, but these parents were... totally dressed up.
Yeah, it's always fun to see a whole family go theme like that.
I know,
it?
And then I was sad that we didn't do anything. I think Michael wore his Green Lantern shirt.
Yeah,
Dylan just wore just a plain white T-shirt. Jimmy Mack, of course, a Star Wars shirt, and it's just really a family-friendly, fun time.
It's family-friendly to a point. Like, there's always a moment where there's teenage girls that are dressed like a sexy version of Catwoman or the girls from Sailor Moon. And then there's like a really creepy guy taking too many pictures of them. You've seen that, right?
Yeah, but I did see something that Jim actually said, that's a good dad. There were two teenage girls and they weren't really dressed vixen-like. I don't even remember what they were dressed as, but it was nothing super sexy. But, you know, showing a little leg, short skirt.
Yeah.
And then one of their dads was walking behind them, letting them have fun, but keeping a total eye on the situation.
Making sure that nothing got out of hand.
Yeah, and Jim's like, that is a good dad.
That
giving them their freedom, but there if needed.
All right. Now, let me bring something to your attention that you probably noticed, but I spent way more time thinking about it than I needed to. A couple of years ago, they started this thing, and it actually goes back to comic books of the 1950s and 60s, but now it's physically there in front of me. Companies now do a thing at all these conventions. They do it at the one that they have downtown here in Chicago. They do it at the one in Rosemont, where all they do is they sell you boxes with question marks on them. They're called mystery boxes. Now, a couple of years ago, it was one or two companies doing it. I counted six different companies that sell you. You can get a $10 one.
Yeah,
you can get a $20 one. You can get a
$50
one.
And who's going to do that? And you're guaranteed $120 worth of stuff. You're guaranteed a T-shirt, but it could just be like, you know, an old white T-shirt that they threw in there.
But people do buy them. I saw all these people walking around with them. And I mean, look, I used to have a little bit of a gambling love myself. But that's the ultimate gamble, to fork over $50 or $100, and all you get is a box with a question mark. And then you open it, and it's stuff that's been discarded, the stuff that they couldn't sell. They then throw in a box with a question mark on it. I just think that's the ultimate ripoff, but people were falling for it left and right.
It's a big charity auction thing that they do.
They do it at charity auctions.
That's where it comes from, probably. Yeah,
yeah, but this isn't this charity. Isn't, this
right.
is for profit.
Right.
And walking, you know, when you park in Rosemont, you have to walk across that tunnel or whatever it is, the bridge.
Yeah.
Enclosed.
To the bridge.
Walking to the bridge, mm-hmm. through it, saw a ton of people walking to their cars with those boxes. And then when we were leaving, they sold so many
tons
of those.
Tons of them. Several months ago, when there was the one here at McCormick Place, I went with my cousin. And we saw all these vendors that are selling these mystery boxes. And my cousin said, who in their right mind would buy that box? And I go, there's people who buy them. And he goes, but what's wrong with you to fork over $50 and have no idea what you're getting? And then an hour later, when we picked up his son and all of his son's friends, each of them had one of the boxes. They each spent their own money, $25, to get the mystery box.
I know.
None of them even remotely pleased with the contents of their boxes.
I have purchased things at these events that I am ashamed of. There was one year, there was like this little speaker. It was like a little black egg-shaped thing, and you would unscrew one side of it, and it was kind of a sticky suction cup, and you would put it like on an empty shoebox, plug the other end of it into your iPhone, and it would literally take whatever you put the suction cup on and turn it into a speaker.
Oh.
And the demonstration was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm there with two kids, two teenage boys, and of course they both want them, and it was like $75.
Oh,
I said,
no.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. He goes, and then I hate this. What if we take it down to, you know, 50, and then you think you're getting a bargain?
Sure.
They're in a junk drawer
of
somewhere.
Of course they are.
And Jim said that you have to chalk that up to being a newbie, because that was one of my first Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
And, he goes, you were overwhelmed by the moment. And I said, yeah. Like, even on Saturday, my kids have gotten me into Rick and Morty. Kevin likes that show as well. And they had little plush figures of Rick and Morty. It's on Adult Swim. And
.com? AdultSwim.com?
Yes.
So I can put it on my registry?
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin, we'll get that as a wedding gift for you.
You know what? It's funny, because I called the kids and said, did you buy the Rick and Morty dolls? They're $20 a piece, but they're giving me a special if I buy both of them. It's both for $30.
Think of the money you're saving.
I know, and I fall for it every time. And the one girl that was, the kids goes, no, we don't have it. And I said, okay, I'm buying it. And then the girl who told me about this special, 2 for $30, was busy. So I had the other girl, and I said, you know, the girl over there told me I could get both for $30, and she goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they just put 20 each on the sign, but
of course
they're totally willing to let them go. I'm such an idiot.
For far, 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 far less.
Well, I think they cost $19.95 to make each of those two.
I'm sure they do.
The profit margin is very low.
Well, and then the kids are like, yeah, we saw those. We didn't really want them. And Kevin, I said, I'm going to give them to Kevin for his wedding gift, and then all of a sudden they go, no, just kidding. We really want them, and they put them in the backpack, so... One of your wedding gifts gone.
Dread.
You could have used them as cake toppers. I'm sure Sarah would have loved
that. Yeah. Would that have been nice?
Yeah. It was fun, though, and you saw Ralph Macchio again?
Yeah, I went over. His manager said when he left here the other day, he goes, hey, if you are at the show today, please come by and say hello. And, you know, I wasn't going to go out of my way, because I know there were a lot of people who wanted to spend time with him. But I did see him, and his manager called me over, and we talked. And, he's a really nice guy. He really is. And he's been working steadily. A friend of mine said, hey, I heard Ralph Macchio on with you. Has he even been in anything in the last 10 or 15 years?
He's still working.
He's working consistently. It's not as high profile as it was for him 15 or 20 years ago. But he's still, I was looking at his IMDb page. He really hasn't had any major downtime. He's getting a couple jobs a year.
And he was in some series, wasn't he, recently?
Yeah, he did.
Oh. I can't think of the name of it. I want to say Industry. That's the first thing popping into my head, but that's not it.
He did one of like those Criminal Minds type shows. He was on an episode of that. I was talking to him about Entourage because he played himself in an episode of Entourage.
That's right.
That's a couple of years ago, but he was really funny in that. He's got a movie coming out at the end of the year that he just finished a little while ago. So, he's still working. It's not as high profile as it was when he was, you know, one of the flavors of the day, but he was such a nice guy.
Absolutely.
And said to say hello to you. You know, he remembered, you know, I thought, okay, a couple of hours have passed, but he's been doing press for the last 3 days. And he goes, is Wendy here too? Is she going to come by? And I go, she's not here today. She'll be by on the weekend.
I felt funny going by on Saturday because it's like I had already seen him. I didn't want to get in the way of other people waiting to see him.
Yeah.
And some friends of ours actually did the VIP experience with Michael J. Fox and got to meet and greet him and said he was so unbelievably nice.
Oh, good.
And then he did a panel with Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson, which I didn't see, but it evidently was awesome.
Oh, that's so cool. Good.
I love these Wizard World Comic Con. Yeah. I mean, it's really fun. And if you're a true fan of something, you can go see the panels. It turns out that I just go to subsidize what the boys are going to buy. That's what it's turned into. And then I end up buying stuff because I just want to have something that I brought home. So I look at the jewelry and end up buying like a cross necklace that Jim's like, oh, it looks, what are you, Tommy Iommi? No.
Do you ever feel bad? Like some of the celebrities, like Michael J. Fox, Ralph Macchio, they have these big long lines of people who want to meet them. And then I'll be walking past and it'll be somebody, you know, from Buck Rogers or something who's got nobody in their line.
I go and say hi to them.
Terrible. A couple of years ago, there's an actor named Felix Sela who used to play Cousin It on The Addams Family.
That's right up your alley.
He's all by himself. Cousin It is just all by himself. And I'm like, I can't let Cousin It just be by himself. So I talked to Cousin It for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, I usually, if I'm at the panel, I mean at the little autograph places, if no one's there, I'll just go up and talk for a minute. If it's somebody I love, it's worth it. If not, I'll just be like, big fan.
Yeah.
How's everything going? Boy, what, a little break time for you?
Yeah, that's better. That's
fine. I do feel really bad.
Yeah, that's rough. That's awful. All right, well, we need to take a quick break. You know who's coming by, Wendy? Noted pet expert Steve Dale is going to step by, and we'll talk probably about pets, I would guess.
Good guess.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't. Stick around. News is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Oh, Wendy, look who's in the studio. It's our friend, noted pet expert Steve Dale. Hi, Steve.
I'm not your friend. I'm Wendy's friend.
You're
right away. You know what's weird? I was going to say the same thing, but then I thought I'm not going to start on a bad note.
I think you're friend to everybody. Who wouldn't want to be your
friend? If they love animals, and clearly you do because you have a pet gibbon.
Yes, Peanut the gibbon. Peanut. We've had Peanut for, it'll be 41 years in December.
Well, maybe not that long, but you've been talking about Peanut for, this is the thing I want to ask you about.
Sure.
So long ago at another radio station, Wendy will remember that Bill spoke about Peanut with me.
He was just trying to get into the conversation. Don't tell him it's not real.
Well, the thing is that gibbons don't live as long. So
that's what's a miracle about Peanut.
You clearly
this
have
is
the
Peanut
longest
too,
lived.
Isn't it?
No, this is the original Peanut. He works out, which I recommend for pets to work out.
Yeah, you're right.
Little dumbbells? Does he use dum-dum suckers to lift?
He uses an elliptical. We had a specially made elliptical for Peanut.
In the trees.
And he watches what he eats, and I'm so proud
That's
of him
important.
For that because he's lactose intolerant and he loves milkshakes.
Yeah.
But, boy, we've had a great time with him.
Clearly. So now Peanut's on Social Security?
Because in gibbon years, gibbons rate, their age rate is different than humans.
Yes.
So even though he's
41, Obama. Does
human,
he say that?
He has said that on occasion. Why is that funny?
Does he get bananas at half price because he's a senior?
Yeah, he flashes the card.
Yeah.
And it's the AARP card, and he flashes that, and they give him a discount.
That's
and
for just, primates, right? AAR.
Yeah, for primates.
Yeah.
And we just taught him how to play Ganip-Ganop, and he loves playing Ganip-Ganop.
All right, can we get on to the real discussion?
Yeah, sure. Today is, as everyone is well aware,
it's so exciting.
National Take Your Cat to the Vet Day, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, really, seriously, this is important because most people that have a cat will take, not everybody, that kitten, if they happen to get the cat as a young kitten, to the veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
But then the cats, because cats are cats, they tend not to act ill, even if they are.
Still, yearly checkups.
It's difficult to get them there, so people don't. And oftentimes, Wendy, be ready to be shocked. until a cat is 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 and really sick from something, many cats, I'm talking many, nearly most, don't go to the veterinarian at all for preventive care. And it needs to be changed.
You need shots every year. You need vaccinations.
Well, you don't need them every year. So the rabies vaccine...
I took my cat every
year. That's too much.
No, it's not too much. You should go twice a year.
Oh.
That's way too much.
No. What was that?
Every day. You should take your cat to the vet every day.
I think so. Because if we tell people to do it every day, maybe then they will go twice
maybe.
A year. Maybe. I mean, it truly is important. Cats do... I have a top five list here.
Oh.
Isn't that exciting?
Sure.
Yes. Cats, number one.
Number one.
Cats mask illness. They do. You cannot tell.
They mask everything.
They do.
They really do.
They do. So unless you have a stethoscope at home and do blood pressure in your kitchen for cats, there's no way to know what is really going on. Number two, weight. 60% of our cats mm-hmm. are overweight or obese.
And because of the people, and the people yeah, feed their cats
in
stuff.
In part, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. Some is complicated, but if you don't see Bill for 2 years...
I'd miss him.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
And then if you see him and he's put on a few pounds, you would notice instantly. But maybe Tracy wouldn't have... Because she's living with Bill every day.
Who's Tracy?
My girlfriend. You're not supposed to talk about that on the air.
Terry, I'm sorry.
Terry,
I
Tracy.
Got confused. Okay.
Sorry about
really
that.
Confused.
I was rolling with it. Like, oh, my wife is going to be furious when she finds out about Tracy. But fine.
Well, you made fun of Bill with his little imaginary tale about Peanut on the elliptical. Why don't they make little kitty treadmills?
Well, cats,
especially for indoor cats.
Cats will go on treadmills sometimes.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah. But I'm always worried about that because unless there's adult supervision, the cat can fall off the treadmill.
Oh, true.
And that's not good.
Right.
But I've seen videos. I mean, if you Google or go to YouTube, you will see, honestly, cats on, I don't know why, but you can exercise a cat, actually. And that's there are a lot of ways to do it. Simply put the food in different places. They're hunters.
Yeah.
They want food, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's if they're overweight or obese, they like food. So put it in different places around the house and have them hunt, quote unquote, indoors for their food.
What a great
idea.
It burns
calories that way.
I used to take Declan for a walk on a leash and he hated it. He was like embarrassed. And he was a beautiful black cat and I had this lime green collar and he didn't even want to go outside.
Well, if the collar were red, maybe.
Black color. The color was too gaudy.
Yeah,
for the,
yeah. All right. I think there's no baseline. Number three, there's no baseline of blood work if you don't go to the veterinarian.
True.
So you finally go when the cat is 15. What is normal for your cat? There's no way to know. Right. Preventive care. It seems obvious, but people don't kind of get it. So prevention really is important. For example, now there's a new test called SDMA. It indicates kidney disease way earlier than the cats tell us. If we wait until the cats tell us they're not feeling well, literally 75% of kidney function or more
too late.
Is destroyed.
Yeah.
And there's not, I mean, there are things, some things they could do to sort of hold it off so it doesn't get worse. However, if a small percent of kidney function is at that point destroyed, way better off.
Yeah.
Veterinarians have a huge advantage by diagnosing early. A lot of things. This is just kidney disease is one example. It's a good one because it affects so many cats.
That's a common problem with cats, right? The kidney issues.
Totally. Yeah, very common, especially in older cats. And the number one reason, however, why cats die isn't kidney disease or cancers. Same is true for dogs, by the way. It's behavior. So people are afraid to tell their veterinarian or maybe embarrassed or think the veterinarian isn't interested. And if you're not going to the veterinarian, you don't have the opportunity to tell your veterinarian, my cat is scratching in the wrong places.
Or peeing all over the front room. And so we had to put Declan on some stimulants to try. We tried everything.
Well, you didn't try everything. How long ago was that? See, we have different answers today.
That was about 20 years ago.
Yeah. So today we have better answers for all of that. However, your veterinarian can't know about it and can't answer those questions if your veterinarian isn't seeing you. So people go online and they look for answers. Sometimes that's good, but Dr. Google isn't always so good.
No.
So
the copays are cheaper, though.
Hmm?
The copays are cheaper.
Yes. So those are the top 5 reasons.
Thank you, Steve.
And they're good. And really, if you know, if there's some behavioral disorder, go to the vet and bring that up.
Yes. Yes. And go to your vet. So if you haven't done it in 6 months, today would be a good day, seriously, to make an appointment. The initiative of Take Your Cat to the Vet Day is supported by the American Association of Feline Practitioners. And also, now they have cat-friendly practices. Practices who have said, I can do better for cats. I've got to think about cats as well as dogs and other animals, too. And they actually have certification for these practices. They jump through hoops to become a cat-friendly practice, so to speak. And you can go online at catvets.org or com, I think it's one or the other, to look and find. They have one of those zip code things, you know, so you just type in your zip code. They will find a cat-friendly practice near you.
Steve, as a human, if you call your doctor and say, hey, I've got something going on, I need to come in, they go, yeah, we got something open in 2 weeks. Come on in 2 weeks. Realistically,
2 weeks? It's 2 months usually. Sometimes for it's my two doctors. Months.
Yeah.
All right, so realistically, with a dog or a cat, if you're calling a vet, how much time do you think would take usually before they can see you?
Depending on the veterinarian, days, not even.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty
if it's an emergency right now, there are veterinary emergency clinics, including MedVet Chicago on Belmont and Clyburn. There are others.
And that's just a couple days.
Area.
In Berwyn, but,
I'm
going to
go start seeing a vet for me if something's wrong with me.
And there is a great one in Berwyn.
Yeah,
so
the VCA.
So you can go there right now if it's an emergency, and you should. If it's for an exam, preventive care checkup, then a few days at the most, usually.
All right. Very good.
It depends on your schedule, too.
Of course.
I mean, you know.
Sure.
We're going to take a quick break, and then something I know we have wondered for our whole lifetime, Bill. Do pets have a sense of humor? We will find out as we continue talking to Steve Dale. And if you have a question or a comment, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Steve Dale is in the studio with us, and you are a noted pet expert, definitely, but you are also now an award winner.
Yes.
Talk to us. What'd you win?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Well, there's a pet trade show in town, and some number of years ago, another pet trade organization gave me and at the same time Dr. Marty Becker, a friend, their big award. We were the first recipients.
A petty? Are those called petty awards?
I'll go with that.
All right.
I don't know that it had a name, but I still have the plaque at home.
Nice. They gave him a plaque. Isn't that a weird award? One day you'll be dead and you'll lay here. Congratulations.
Yes.
That seems counterproductive.
Well, all right, so you have the plaque.
I do. And
does it say anything on it?
I don't know. It's a lot of, I'm sure it does. It says, thank you.
This is really great to talk about. It says, I'm getting some big award on Wednesday. Oh, you haven't received it yet?
No, Wednesday.
Are you sure this is happening, Steve? This sounds like something
they
you
might
dreamt.
Take it away after the
sell-up
you did.
I know. It's very nice. I was really honored.
All right.
It's at Navy Pier.
Yeah.
Where I'm going. You know why this is a really neat award?
Because why?
They're giving it to me in the beer garden.
Oh, that'll be lovely.
And they said I could have some beer.
Oh, that'll be nice.
They're seriously not giving it to you anymore.
No, they're not.
But you are now on the board of the American Association of Human/Animal Bond Veterinarians.
That is cool.
So that's excellent.
Yeah.
You do a great
job. Congratulations, Steve.
Well, that's really an honor for a whole lot of reasons, because without the bond, we have nothing. You know, so if there's a behavior problem that causes the bond to fracture, or for whatever reason, the bond with your animal goes away, then we don't have anything. There's no point.
Yeah.
That's why we have pets. They bond with us. We bond with them. And we need to learn more about that. So I'm honored to be in this organization, truly.
All right.
And I'm the first non-PhD, non-veterinarian on the board.
Even better. Congratulations.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Now, do pets really have a sense of humor?
So I went to the American Veterinary Medical Association convention that I go to every year, and they have a behavior symposium hosted by the veterinary behaviorists the day before this all begins.
Yeah.
And the keynote speaker was Jaak Ponsepp.
He's great.
Yes. You're
I've
a fan.
I've been a fan of Jan Ponsek since I was a small boy.
I know.
I love
this
him.
Guy is amazing. And, you know, for years, scientists used to say, but I'm not going back like 100 years ago. I'm going back 20 years ago. Our pets and other animals do not have emotions. And he set out to wonder if, and maybe prove that they might. And what he did is he mapped the emotional signals in the brain. And he actually shows this. It's not opinion. It's not conjecture.
It's fact.
It is. And of course, animals express emotions differently than we do. He's the guy. So a couple of years ago, he was on the cover of Time magazine and National Geographic.
Jan Poncek was?
Yeah, your dude. Yeah. And that's because he is now known as the rat tickler.
Yep.
Yep. He tickles rats. He has found a frequency that makes them laugh. And it turns out that Norman Cousins...
What do they sound like when they laugh?
What do you think?
Well, they all have different... Yeah, that's...
Higher.
Really? Like
yeah,
squeaky?
It's beyond what we can hear.
Wow.
Yep.
So do it.
No.
You just did it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like,
you couldn't hear it.
You can train a dog. You can't train me. Come on. Do it.
Do it now. Even more fascinating to me is that he bred for rats that like to laugh and then learned that these rats don't get depressed. These rats seem happier.
Because laughter is the best medicine, Steve,
even
in the world of rats.
Norman Cousins was right all those years ago. These rats actually lived longer and suffered less disease. And he believes, your friend Jan Poncek, that there ought to be a national day of play for people because we've forgotten how to do that.
That's 100% true.
And it's good for us the same way that it's good. And that's one reason why we have a dog, right? I mean, they're puppies forever in some ways, and we play with them.
Yeah.
They make us smile. They make us laugh.
You get down on the ground and play with them.
Yeah.
That's true.
They bring out the kid in all of us, no matter how old we are. That's one reason why we choose. No one forces us to have a pet. We choose to do it. And most people in America, statistically, have a dog or cat, and then there's the one with the gibbon.
Yep.
So pets...
You know what makes my gibbon laugh, Steve?
What?
Episodes of Two Broke Girls.
That's the only person or thing laughing at that show.
He binge watches it for hours and loves it. Laughs like crazy.
I can understand. No, I really can't. So this is fascinating.
That
though,
is pretty fascinating.
Because it turns out a couple things are true. Our animals do have emotions, and that's not a surprise to anyone who's had a dog for the last 1,000 years. I mean, you come home and your dog is happy to see you.
You can tell when a dog is smiling.
Yeah.
Big time.
And they do smile.
Yep.
And happiness is an emotion. So there's no doubt pet owners have known this, but now he's shown that this is the case. But what difference does it make? And that's what he's trying to determine.
Zanies is, if they're listening right now, they should have a whole slew
rat
of...
night. Have rat night.
So Zanies. My latest, it's funny you say that. So my last podcast on WGM Plus, Steve Dale's Other World. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily about pets. I interview. I would love to talk to you guys at some point. We'd go on. No, you don't really want that.
I
do. Really? I would love. I would
I'm
love
your
that.
Friend.
Sure.
I would love that. I had Sharna Halpern on.
Oh, yeah?
From I.O.
Yeah.
And she's discovered all these people. I mean, right? Amy Poehler, Tina Fey.
Sure.
Chris Farley.
Yes. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And she wants to do a benefit to support Friends of Animal Care and Control and have adoptable dogs there. And she says, that'll make my comedians happy, too, because there'll be dogs in the audience.
Awesome.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah,
not for you.
Right. Well,
yes,
I'm
all
right with that.
No, you will be the MC for this.
Did
she not tell you this?
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
Yes,
that'd be fun.
Yes.
But you get a little bow wow.
Yeah, but it was.
Yeah.
It was
Snoop
a
dog.
It was a fascinating conversation with her about what makes people laugh and how she instantly knew that Cicely Strong or Tina Fey or Amy Poehler would probably make it, where she could look at me and say, all you do is throw a pie in a guy's face. That's not really funny. So, right. And it's fascinating as to how what she looks for in these comedians. It's at WGMplus.com.
Excellent.
Steve Dale's Other World. And we're out of time, but there's been some recent dog nappings. Is there information that we can glean in about 30 seconds on how to protect your dog?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, so try not to walk your dog at 3 a.m. because they tend to happen when bad things do happen. If you can, walk with another person as well. I suggest people take a whistle with them. Because not only do you scream when that person approaches you and your dog, you blow the whistle. Maybe that'll help. And be aware of your surroundings. People have headsets on all the time.
Yeah, don't do the headsets.
Yeah,
the earbuds.
Yep.
Well, cool.
Thank you, Steve. He's noted pet expert Steve Dale. Listen to him anytime you can. WGM Plus is your best bet, right?
Yeah, or Sunday,
and Sunday mornings.
Sunday mornings, of course.
As far as I know.
Thanks, Steve.
You know something I don't know?
No,
I don't
know anything.
Now I go upstairs. I'm a little worried.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
We'll
Thanks,
take a
Steve.
Quick break.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Steve. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know, it's funny. I think when people look back on the 2016 Olympics, it'll probably be more remembered for Ryan Lochte's unfortunate situation than for the games themselves, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's a shame. Because we won so many gold medals.
USA, 121, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And where is this? Ryan Lochte, I was reading about this morning.
Yeah.
He's really cute, I hate to admit, and he knows it.
But, all right, as cute as he may or may not be, isn't the fact that you could put a pencil in one of his ears and it would come out the other ear something of a deal breaker?
That's why he gets such great times, because the water goes right through his head,
too. Very buoyant.
I can't find... here it is.
Were you going to say I can't find a reason to believe him? Because I can't either.
Embattled American Olympian swimmer Ryan Lochte said in a new interview that his mistake, quote, was over-exaggerating the story about being held up at gunpoint in Rio de Janeiro, but he stopped short of admitted lying. He lied.
He obviously lied.
Here's what he said. There's a main broadcaster in Brazil, and his name is Globo. Sounds like a clown,
Globo,
I know.
Globo the broadcaster.
This is what Ryan...
It's Wizzo.
Is that Wizzo's music? Sorry.
So Ryan Lochte went on Globo's show to offer an apology, and here's some of his quotes. I just over-exaggerate part of it. The very first part, I was very intoxicated.
The part about it happening?
I was a little frightened having a gun pointed to you. He does not know. He needs somebody to help him form sentences in apologies like this.
English is his second language, but he doesn't have a first. That's his problem.
He went on to say, my mistake was over-exaggerating what really happened. Then when Ryan Lochte was asked whether he thought he was lying, he said, quote, I wasn't lying to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
I over-exaggerated what was happened.
Yeah.
He can't talk. And then he went on to say, I'm sorry if my behavior, I can't find the exact quote, but it was along these lines. This is what he said to Globo. I'm really sorry that my behavior turned into such a ruckus.
Yeah.
This is way beyond a ruckus. Don't you think?
It became an international incident. It really did.
And Speedo has just pulled out, as Steve reported, an endorsement deal for Ryan Lochte.
So that's millions of dollars.
Oh, my God.
That's millions of dollars that he kissed away by lying. This is a great lesson for kids. It really is.
It totally is. And I'm confused about the being intoxicated. I guess, was he finished swimming for the all the events? Yeah, because he was going home.
Yeah.
But that's something that shouldn't be out in the open, should it?
But you, even before you heard that he had too much to drink, didn't you assume that was part of it? I just assumed, like, from the very first time the story was reported, it was him and a bunch of his swimming friends, you know, having way too good of a time and not really being sure of what exactly was happening around them.
Oops, Sally Beauty Supply just pulled out. He was going to endorse bleach.
For the hair dye?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you got a chance to hear this or see this, but on Friday, there was a verbal fight between Al Roker and Billy Bush.
My money's on Al Roker.
My money's on him, too, on a thinner, leaner Al Roker over Billy Bush. All right, so the two of them had a little disagreement over whether or not Ryan Lochte was lying or embellishing, and I'm gonna hand it to Al Roker. Because he wasn't taking no for an answer. He is convinced that this guy is a liar and should be treated as a liar.
He is.
Billy Bush was dancing around it for whatever reason.
Because he's Billy Bush. He likes to dance.
He's Billy Bush is why. So can we play a little bit of that? Kevin, do you have that audio for us? This is the other day. This is Friday on the Today Show as they're discussing Ryan Lochte, and Al Roker is tired of Billy Bush saying that he embellished because he didn't embellish.
He lied.
He lied, but Billy Bush wouldn't say that. So here's the two of them going at it on Friday. Listen to this.
He lied. He lied to you.
Yeah.
He lied to Matt Lauer. Lied to his mom. He left his teammates hanging while he skedaddled.
He certainly lied about some details.
No, no, he lied. No, Billy.
Some details?
Billy.
Not there was some no details. Robbery.
There was no robbery. There was no pullover. There was nothing.
There was no gun cocked to his head.
Hold on. He lied.
Okay, calm down. Listen, If a security guard is standing in front of you with a badge,
yeah,
and is asking for money and you don't speak Portuguese.
There was a translator.
Right.
Well, the swimmers, Jimmy Fegan said there wasn't. So there's a different story, but if someone's
saying you'll give me money or you can't leave.
He lied.
Sure, he embellished
No.
Money unwillingly came out of his pocket.
He lied. They were knocked out. He said their car was hit.
That's not true. That's a lie.
Well,
gun to the head is a Dirty Harry moment is a lie. That didn't happen. They weren't sideswiped.
So he created all of these moments to make himself look like...
Okay.
I've stared them down in the face. It was, like you said, the Dirty Harry moment. I mean, come on.
You look at Mario Andrade, who's the Rio organizing guy.
And a great race car driver.
Does he want an apology? He said no. These are kids
traveling
abroad.
You can fade it down, Kevin. I just love the fact...
These are kids traveling abroad. This guy's a tool.
I love... Which guy? Billy Bush or Ryan Lochte?
Well, I bet they're friends. That's what the deal is.
I can't figure out why he, in this case Billy Bush, wouldn't cop to the fact with all the evidence there, that it was one lie on top of another. He chooses the word embellish over lie. I don't know why he wouldn't give that up, but he wouldn't.
And I get it's a weird situation to have a security guard pointing a gun at you or with a gun saying demanding money, but then don't bust up a bathroom.
Right.
Try and be a normal human being, use the facilities, and go on your way.
Yeah. That would be better.
He's asking for money because you broke stuff that wasn't yours.
Right. And now it's now been proved that there was somebody there. There was some sort of an intermediary because the security guard apparently didn't speak English and Ryan Lochte also doesn't speak English. So there was somebody there who was able to translate all that was going on, even though they, Lochte and his friend, say that wasn't there. They are saying there was a guy there that was saying, hey, we can help you negotiate this. Don't go crazy on us. We can fix this.
I say Al Roker's going to pummel Billy Bush because you don't say calm down to Al Roker. That was a moment. Just calm down.
I know.
No, I'm not going to.
I give him nothing but credit for that because Billy Bush was being Billy Bush and sugarcoating everything. He was embellishing. He was embellishing, but the bigger story is that he lied and then lied on top of that and lied on top of that. And look at what it's cost him. It's cost him millions of dollars in endorsements.
I also like that he called them kids. Ryan Lochte's 32. That's not exactly a kid.
I know.
I got to be honest with you. When we mentioned how he claims he was intoxicated and you said, weren't you sure they were drinking? In my head, I'm going, is he even 21? He looks really young to me and acts even younger.
I guess, although his hair was dyed like gray almost, right? Is that what he was going with?
No, it was white.
Was it white?
It was white blonde, like bleach, Billy Idol, white blonde. And
so that makes him look older. Doesn't it? That color just gives him an older look.
I guess. Hey, Sue.
Hi. I'm not making excuses for Ryan, but I heard over the weekend that he's got autistic personality.
He's on the spectrum of autism.
And that's not making excuses for what, you know. But it just, if you know anything about anybody on the autism Asperger's spectrum, it's little personality things like this that come out, and it's just a weird. I mean, I have a grandson that has this, so I'm pretty well read on all this stuff. And it's just they don't mean to do harm, but then they get themselves so involved, and they don't know how to get themselves out.
I do realize that, and a lot of times social
social
cues cannot be read, but then I don't know if he should be hanging out and drinking.
No, he shouldn't. He should absolutely not be.
What kind of teammates corroborated the story? That's what kind of confuses me as well.
I mean, I'm sure there's more to all this and everything. But when I heard that, I started thinking, oh, okay, you know, maybe there's more to this story than making fun of him and making fun of all the stupid things that were done. That if there's more to the story, it sort of explains but doesn't make it right.
Right. We can certainly be sympathetic to it if he has this, if he does.
I think I did read that he is on the autism spectrum.
But he still knows right from wrong.
He does.
But it colors the way you look at things.
Absolutely, but then, you know, drinking should not be part of it either.
Right. And he should know by the age of 33.
That's what I mean. It's different if it's a kid or a teenager or even a young adult who's still figuring out how to navigate social cues and relationships. But this guy's an adult, he's been living on his own. I mean,
yeah.
Because I have a 19-year-old grandson, and he's already been told you cannot drink. I mean,
yeah, that can't be in your best interest.
It's going to really cloud your so he's always reminded about this.
And is that because of the medication that he's on, or just because of the?
Yes. Now I don't know if Lockie is on any. You know, I don't know.
Right, I don't know that's been disclosed.
Yeah, you know that I don't know. I'm not making an excuse for bad judgment, but it does add more to the story.
Yeah, but now look, Dan Aykroyd has come out saying that too, that he's on the autism spectrum too.
He's more autistic than there's so many things involved in the spectrum, and they all tend to be very smart.
It's more socially.
I don't know that Ryan Lochte's smart.
It's all this social stuff. They have no clue.
Well,
and they have to constantly be trained in it, constantly.
Yeah.
That is something, you know, I'm glad you brought to the forefront because I forgot about reading that. But I don't know if that's a defense in Ryan Lochte's case. In other people's, maybe.
That's what I said. And there should be enough people around him in the Olympic community that knows if he has this problem, that he can't.
Somebody to keep an eye on him and make sure doesn't happen.
And at least tell his teammates that, hey, he can't go out and drink. Yeah. You know?
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Thanks.
Should we take a break? Continue this?
More of your calls and texts. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you in just a little bit. 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking about Ryan Lochte like the whole world is, and it's really tarnished our involvement in the Olympics this year in Rio de Janeiro, don't you think?
Just a bit. It really has.
Someone, it has been brought up that I believe he's on the Asperger's. I don't know if it's Asperger's, which is a part of the autism spectrum. But this has been brought up. Someone was curious. One question, did he have to stay off his meds because they might show up as doping?
Oh, interesting.
I don't know that that's true. If you're prescribed a medication for something, I think that...
That you're okay with it?
Yeah, if you have a doctor's prescription.
I would think.
But he's 30-some years old, and at some point, you are responsible for your own behavior. I know his mom was there, not staying with him, not going out partying with him. And for the teammates to go down with him, I question that.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you go, dude, you're on your own?
At some point.
And what's terrible is even though they're all involved, Ryan Lochte's getting the spotlight.
Well, he's the biggest name of the four. Sorry, Jimmy Fegan, but he is. I can't imagine spending time with him, not because of this incident, but because in the past I've heard him interviewed. I can't imagine just sitting and spending any time having a conversation with him. I would lose interest right around the 5-second mark.
I would like to watch other people have a conversation
with
him.
That would be something to see.
That would be very, very funny.
That would be fun to watch.
All right. You played some audio we did of Billy Bush and Al Roker getting into it. And Lisa, you wanted to comment on that?
Yeah, I saw them on the Today Show this morning because now Billy Bush has been added to the Today Show full time, and it was his first gig this morning, and that was brought up, and they were talking about how they're such really good friends, and Billy Bush's argument was that he was just trying to present a devil's advocate point of view, and wanted to make sure that it didn't look like they were all three really bashing Ryan Lochte, that, that somebody was there representing a different point of view.
Let his attorney do that.
Al Roker sat there really quiet during the whole thing, was like shaking his head like, yeah, that, he wasn't too happy with even that and wasn't really, even happy bringing up that part of that segment again. And he didn't say anything pretty much during that whole, the rehash of it today. He didn't even say anything about it.
I understand again, the part
and,
where you want
really to. Kept quiet.
I get wanting to stick up for your friend. I understand that. But in a case like this, where the eyes of the world is on a guy because he lied about something, at some point you have to relinquish it and just go, well,
he messed up.
He is my friend, but he screwed up.
Right. I mean, he makes our country look horrible. Like,
yeah.
The rest of the world is looking at us, and really, like, this is what other people see of America, like, arrogant, ignorant.
Right.
I mean, like, listening to this guy who's a box of rocks who's an idiot anyway, but, like, oh, my gosh, defending this in any way is just even worse.
Yep.
You know, so.
Agreed.
But, yeah, it was interesting just to watch it being rehashed today and the backpedaling NBC is still trying to do. So, it's funny.
Oh, that's right. That's their baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lisa. We appreciate it. Why doesn't Ryan Lochte and Hope Solo get together and hook up? Don't they seem like they'd be a great match?
Maybe. Yeah, that would be a fun couple.
They could complain about people, call people cowards.
Yes. Now
he was not going to be a coward. He was standing up to a guy with a gun in his face.
Sure he was. Of course he was. All right, we'll take a quick break. The news is next. Kim Gordon has the news. And then the return of Eric Zorn. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It is the triumphant return of the feistiest columnist this city has ever seen. Of course, I'm referring to Eric Zorn, who's been gone for several weeks. Fill people in, Eric, because I know what you were doing, but a lot of people do not.
I've been pent up for 2 weeks. I've been unable to express my feistiness on the
only
air.
Have a half an hour.
You know what happened on Saturday night? We did a Mincing Rascals podcast live on the air on GN, and Scott Stannis was on, and he stole Feisty from me. He asked to be interviewed.
Tribune cartoonist Scott Stannis stole your
Please introduce me as Feisty.
No.
I know. It was just
wrong.
That's your adjective.
This is my brand. So
copyrighted.
I know. So he's got to find another one.
That belongs
to
you.
I'm going to sue him. I think. What did Michael Jordan get? $8 million.
Right in that neighborhood.
Something like that. I think that's
worth it.
Yeah, it is actually. I've been gone. I went to a old time music convention or a festival down in West Virginia. Worth like 5,000 people who are as into old-time American music as I am are all gathered there, and they play music 22 hours a day.
Wow.
It's in Clifftop, West Virginia. And
why do they take the 2 hours off? Why not make it around the clock?
It's basically from 8 till 10 in the morning, and I think they're catching a little bit of sleep, essentially. But trying to go to sleep there, it's like there's music going all
the time. Oh, that's fun.
It was actually a lot of fun. It's actually very intimidating. People are really, really good, and some of them very exclusive.
You're pretty good.
I'm pretty good, but I felt not so good.
Not as good as them. And your son was involved in this, too?
My son was there, yeah. He's a fiddle player, too. He's really doing well. And then I took him. Then we went to a camp, fiddle camp, basically. Yeah, fiddle camp for a week after that, and played music all the time and learned a lot. And then I left him at school. So
does at least one of the fiddlers just at some point during the camp go up on the roof just to say they've done it? They must, right?
They have to.
They have to.
It wasn't me. I thought that seemed like a cliche, but it's a really nice, you know, honestly, it's a really nice way of getting, exercising a different part of your mind than we exercise in the jobs that we do here, where you're always wrapped up in the news. You're always, you know, fussing about the latest development,
sure.
The latest thing that Donald Trump says, just to get away from that. And music is a terrific way to do that. It's a nice hobby.
Well, you were missed. Everybody who filled in did a great job, but
they did.
We missed
you,
and we even got an email.
You know that I listen on the podcast.
Yeah.
I listen. And, of course, Mary Schmeek is wonderful. And I think you said when you said we shouldn't have to wait till Eric goes away to have Mary Schmeek on. You shouldn't, because she is just the best.
Yeah, does a nice job.
I really like her.
Welcome back. We're
thrilled
that you're back. Since you mentioned politics, there have been some things that have happened in the last couple of weeks.
There have been a few things, yeah. I did a column on Sunday where I looked at a bunch of little developments in the news. And one of them that people were talking about quite a bit on social media last week was that in Texas, public policy polling did a survey, and they asked people, you know, who you're going to vote for. And D's Nuts pulled at 3%. Yeah, that's back. That old.
Can you just explain for people who don't know what that is? What that is?
I'm not exactly sure what it is. I know a kid in like Nebraska or Iowa, a teenager, made this up. So it's like, and it's a punchline, isn't it? To a really stupid joke, and he created a character called D's Nuts, and he I guess made a joke that he's going to be a candidate. So this polling company put him in the survey. Like, would you vote for Deez Nuts? And Deez Nuts beat Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate.
That's encouraging.
3% to 2%. And actually, so did, I think, Jill Stein tied with Harambe, the gorilla in the Cincinnati Zoo that was shot.
Who died, right.
Terrible story. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, and the thing is that everyone is playing this for laughs. I think it illustrated two things. One is that Jill Stein really isn't doing very well, and the Green Party candidacy is just not a serious candidacy, which is not a big surprise. The other thing is that people are a little bit fed up with pollsters, and they will, they're in on the joke, obviously. People aren't serious voters out there going, yes, Deez Nuts, I think I'm going to vote for that. They were just yanking the chain of the pollster. So anytime you're looking at these polling results, you've got to realize that in a lot of cases, they're just telling the pollster something that they think is funny or they're whimsical, but you can't rely on them too much.
Right.
The thing that I did bring up, which I thought was interesting, I read deeply into those poll results. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what else they had asked.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came up was that something like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, I think I gave them to you, but something like 34% of the public they polled in Texas,
mm-hmm,
said that they believe that ACORN was going to steal the election. Now, ACORN stands for the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. And you remember ACORN and the allegations of vote fraud. And they think that, 24% said that, yes, in Texas said that the ACORN is going to steal the election for Hillary Clinton. 36% said they didn't know whether ACORN was going to do this. Now, it's interesting because, first of all, ACORN has never been credibly accused of any of widespread voter fraud. There are a couple of little incidents that they found, but there's nothing significant that was ever found about ACORN. The other thing is that ACORN went out of business and bankrupt in 2010.
They did, yeah.
And it's been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't think that that particular question was one of those just, you know, funny ha-ha questions that the pollster asked. I think that was really trying to get a sense of what voters are thinking about and how they're thinking of this election.
Is this a byproduct of Donald Trump saying a little over a week ago that if he doesn't win, it shows that the election
is
rigged?
Is yeah. rigged. And he's the one who's undermining faith in the system already as we're going along. And which a lot of people are saying is really, really dangerous. I think that people are getting obviously very worked up about this election more than I've seen. I mean, people were very worked up about every presidential election.
This is the worst.
I agree. It is the worst.
No one can have a conversation about anything. It always ends up people screaming at each other, it seems, more than ever.
Well, one of the things we were talking about this morning in our meeting upstairs was that it's going to get worse because the negative ads are really just starting and people are just now tuning in to this election. You know, massively. People have been paying, you know, summer vacation, the Olympics. Now it's all over. Now I think the public attention is really going to turn to this. Donald Trump has gone up on the air with advertising for the first time.
Yeah.
And his ads are very negative about Hillary Clinton. And Clinton's ads are pretty tough on Donald Trump. We're going to see millions and millions of dollars, probably not in Illinois, but in a lot of these swing states. And, of course, every ad that's out there is on social media. You're going to see these candidates, and they both realize that neither of them have very favorable numbers. I mean, in terms of like public trust, public confidence in their ability and all that. I mean, these are very, very unpopular candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is just to make your opponent more unpopular than you are. So I think this is going to be an extremely, extremely negative campaign.
It has been, but
I think it's going to get worse, and they're going to drive these negative numbers down even further. It's been interesting to see Donald Trump in the last week trying to hit the reset button, to borrow an expression from another news event, but to hit the reset button with his campaign, right? He came out and said, was it Thursday night? He said, sometimes in the heat of debate, you say things that you regret. You say things that hurt people. And he didn't say he was sorry, he said, I regret that.
Closest he's come to an apology, but still not an apology.
To anything. And
right.
They pressed Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager, on the talk shows on Sunday. They said, what is he talking about? Is he talking about making fun of the disabled? Is he talking about saying that a Hispanic judge can't do his job? Mm-hmm. what is he talking about? Is he talking about what he said about the Gold Star family? What? Mm-hmm. What is he apologizing for? And they were like, well, he just regrets things that might have hurt people and he wants to move on. I think it could be effective. I'm certain that we're going to see these poll numbers start to close. The Hillary Clinton's lead is like, what, 10% in some of
just
these polls
below
right now.
Eight or so.
That's bigger than it's going to be in the election, I think.
He pulled out his old, and he's done this in the past, too, when somebody is opposing him, he threatens to tell I know some things about that guy or that girl, and I'll tell you that story.
The truth is
going to
come out. Yeah,
the truth is going to come out. He did that today with Joe Scarborough and Micah Brzezinski from Morning Joe. They have been critical of him, so he said today, I know the real story about them, and I'll tell it to you. But it never goes.
Well, I think the real story, certainly the gossip mill, is that they are romantically involved, right? Which I don't think either of them are married, so
right.
I don't think that that's like a huge scandal,
right?
Joe Scarborough is a former Republican congressman from Florida, and Micah Brzezinski is the daughter of former national security advisor, I think, and she's Democratic, liberal, and so I don't know what the scandal would be. So they have a thing. I don't know
if that's what it is.
If they are, they certainly bicker on the air enough that is plausible, right?
But remember when he pulled that out against the owners of the Cubs? He knew some things about the family that the Ricketts.
People say this. You know, they're talking about Hillary Clinton's health right now.
Yeah.
Rudy Giuliani yesterday was like, oh, you know what people say on the internet? Let's go on the internet and Google Hillary Clinton's health and see what you get.
Right.
Go on the internet and you can Google anything. Google any nutty
Put any
theory.
Two words into Google, well, it'll about, find you a million
and
health.
The classic one, of course, is 9/11 conspiracy theories. Yeah. You know, the U.S. government brought down these buildings. And,
yes.
You know, yeah, people are saying this. I think it's really irresponsible for people to be doing that. And, Hillary Clinton's health is just a crazy issue.
I know.
Bringing up.
Eric Zorn is here, just as feisty as ever, maybe more feisty. We'll continue this in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He's not been here for 3 weeks, and we've missed a lot of major stories, both nationally and locally. What's going on with local politics?
Well, the story that kind of caught my eye locally is arguably one of the silliest stories in politics. The State Fair. Our columnist, Kim Jansen, we have this new Chicago Inc. column on page 3,
yeah.
And they're just doing, like, you know, little bit wacky stories, celebrity stories, things like that. So he went down there. I'm not sure he went down there for other reasons too, but one of the things he wanted to do is he wanted to confront Leslie Munger, who's the controller of the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And she is in an election battle now with Susana Mendoza, who's the city clerk in Chicago. And this is a special election. Judy Bartopinka died. Do you remember this?
Yes.
This is a little bit of history. Yep. Topinka died after she was elected. Munger was appointed by Governor Rauner. And then the legislature said, okay, we're going to have an election. It's an off-year election. It shouldn't be a controller's election this year. Anyway, in this campaign, Munger was attacking Mendoza and saying, I don't think she has the math skills to be, you know, controller. And it's like, the math skills. It was just like a cheap, weird shot. So, so Kim Jansen, who is, like I say, our Chicago Inc. columns, he goes down there and he has this video camera rolling and he gives her three, basic multiplication, single-digit multiplication question. Like, I think one was 9 times 3, one was 8 times 7. Mm-hmm. You know, quick questions, and she blew two of them.
It's hard to do math on the fly sometimes. I remembered all my multiplication tables, but when the pizza guy's there, I can't add that quickly. I like to know in advance how much it's going to be, so I can have that all prepared.
So you know, it is issue. Anything like that, if you're put like right on the spot,
yeah.
Tell me this, do this. Now, I can certainly relate to that. On the other hand, I mean, this is and so obviously they did a story about Munger gets 33% of the math quiz. And then he, but without doing anything, then he went to Mendoza and asked her the same three questions, and she got them right. You know, she just really quickly got them. But,
well,
you know,
then that's how she should win the election. It should be a math bee.
First of all, you know, a controller is the person who cuts the checks.
Right.
Doesn't do the adding and subtracting.
Just prints the checks out. Doesn't have an abacus. Right.
On his or her desk.
Right.
It's a completely bogus. First of all, it was a completely bogus thing for Munger to charge Mendoza with. It was just stupid. You know, it's like, it's nothing to do with. And the fact that she fails this basic math quiz was just hilarious. You know, it's just like a hilarious gotcha karma moment. It was absolutely perfect. And it was wonderful. And she blamed, and when she was asked about it, she said, well, I didn't understand his accent. And Kim is British, Jansen. So he does have a British accent. So he says, you know, what's 9 sevens or something like that? Or what's 9 sevens? But the thing is that if you watch the video, she then He asked her, and then she repeats the question before missing the answer.
Oh, and she got got it right during that part.
So it was the cover up, and it was the mistake, and then the cover up. It was just a hilarious moment. But of course, the truth about this election is that nobody really cares who
about
the controller is.
Yeah,
we've been trying for years to combine controller and treasurer because there's duplication in the office, and it's like they're both these, you know, basically clerical jobs,
yeah,
state
right.
government. And so we've been trying to do this, and we'd save, I think, about $12 million a year to do this every few years as another effort to combine these offices because it's a waste. And every couple of years, then
other states combine them? Do you know?
Some states do and some don't. It's mixed. A lot of states just have a treasurer because that's, you know, you need a treasurer, someone who gets the money and pays the bills. This, you know, separating it goes way back in our history, because we had a corrupt treasurer, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. But but the actual fact is that nobody cares. The only thing that this race is about is it's a proxy fight between Governor Rauner, the Republicans,
oh, sure.
and the Democrats who control the General Assembly, Mike Madigan, and Senate President Cullerton. So these two candidates represent those two in a statewide election, which is why this is important and why people are going to be paying attention to it. But what I said in the paper was that this election is not about numbers, it's about letters, specifically D and R. That's what this is about. And, you know, you can do all this finger pointing and stuff, but essentially what these candidates have to do is they need to be talking about the side that they represent.
Of course.
Susana Mendoza needs to talk about why it's important to have the Democrats in charge in the state, and Leslie Munger needs to talk about why it's important for voters to give a vote of confidence to Governor Rauner. That's what this is all about. We have, of course, a few legislative races coming up, maybe five, six throughout mm-hmm. the whole state, including both the Senate and the House, which could go either way. And they're dumping tons of money into those races. For the first time in memory, the Republicans have a significant war chest, thanks to Governor Rauner, you know, the Mr. Governor Moneybags. Mm-hmm. So he is helping fund that. And there's some other wealthy donors, too, who are putting a lot of money into these races. So it's going to be a really interesting test. But the Senate Republican leader, Christine Redonio, was on Rick Pearson's show on WGN yesterday morning. And she was saying that she acknowledged that it wasn't going to change control of the General Assembly, that the Republicans are still going to be in a minority in both the Senate and the House. But she feels like if a couple of seats swing the Republicans' way, that's going to send a message to the Democrats to cooperate with Governor Rauner. I don't think that that's true. I think that the Democrats will hang on to the control that they have, and that we're in for just no matter what happens in this election, unless mm-hmm. it's something, you know, enormously surprising. That we're
Which you never know.
You never know, but I think we're in for another 2 years of stalemate. I don't see the Democrats knuckling under to
right.
Governor Rauner's efforts, his so-called turnaround agenda. I don't see that happening, no matter what happens in this election. So I think there's some real issues with that. So,
absolutely. So. Eric, thanks. Welcome back.
Thanks.
We're thrilled to have you back.
That's
Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up next. Stay where you are. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, welcome back to part deux. It should be part deux because it's our show.
That would be more accurate. You're absolutely right, Wendy.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN. Thank you so much, Kim.
Can I bring something up? And I know this is awkward, not for you and not for me, but for Kevin, who is our producer and is getting married in a month. Almost a month to the day, Kevin. Right?
Wait, what?
You're getting married in a month.
This is true.
Yep.
A month and a day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They sent out these beautiful invitations with an RSVP on them. And, you know, because now it's, what year is this, like 2016, it's not the old days where you would send back the invitation or a part of the invitation. The RSVP now is all done online. And when you go online, and this is beautiful, I never saw this before. When you go online, it tells you their story, Kevin and Sarah's story of what they were before they met each other and how they met. And what they like
right,
to
I've
do.
Already replied.
It's
just
fantastic.
FYI,
it's
Mr.
So
last
fantastic.
Minute.
But here's why I bring this up. And I kept saying to Kevin, I'm probably going to attend the wedding, but there's other things that are going on that day, and if something better comes
right,
along,
you need to see if something.
Well,
sure.
I was just kidding with him. So on the invitation, I don't know if you saw this, but where it says where you need to respond to, it gives you the name of the website, and then it says U.S. because we live in the United States, and then it says their names, except Kevin's name is spelled incorrectly.
That's his nickname. That's what Sarah calls him all the time. He knows nothing about
Kevo?
You. Why'd you even invite him?
Kevo is a clown's name. I'm going to the wedding of a clown. That'll be fun. Sarah and Kevo are getting married, it says here.
Sarah put this together,
September
correct?
23rd.
Yes.
And she calls you that.
Yeah. She's not the only one. I've been called Kevo a handful of times. I think on Twitter I'm Kevo.
When listeners, when you call into the show from now on, when you want to talk to us about a topic, say, hi, is this Kevo? Yeah, I'd like to talk to Bill and Wendy, please.
And it's not just Kevo. It ends O-H, like Kevo.
I know. I know.
Yeah. It's a clown thing, I guess.
I'm not sure that's a good way to start a marriage.
Oh, my God.
I think that is a bad omen for what could be in the future.
You really want Mr. Curmudgeon to come?
As long as he dances.
He's not dancing.
Not going to dance. I will not dance at Kevo's wedding.
And were you able to figure out the website okay?
No.
Are you serious? No. My grandma figured it out.
I had
no problem.
You have to respond for you and your guest.
Yeah.
Tracy.
I'm also bringing a clown. I'm bringing Wizzo's daughter from Bozo Circus.
What's her name? Come on.
I can't say it on the air.
Oh,
it's too suggestive for the airwaves.
I wrote a cute little message and used emojis because Kevin got me hooked on the emojis. I tried to capture his signature emoji.
Which is what?
It's the flexi arm, the sunglasses smiley, and the thumbs up.
And what did I do wrong? I did it in the wrong order?
I think you picked it a wrong. I mean, it was close enough,
no.
And I appreciate the offer.
I know
the,
I did it,
effort.
And I did it anatomically correct because I think, you know, there's one that it's a thumb on the left hand and one it's the right arm flexing.
Mm-hmm.
I think your signature is wrong.
Well, it's my signature, so no matter what it is, it's still right.
Remember in the old days when people had to communicate with words?
Nope.
That's dumb.
Now it's just pictures of body parts and food and stuff.
Kevo and emojis. That's going to be the whole wedding.
Can you do me a small favor, Kevin? At the wedding, is it being officiated by a holy man of some sort?
No,
it's a friend by the name of Emoji.
Oh, it is?
Yes, Emoji and Kevo and Sarah.
I'm going to have a little flower on my lapel that squirts water.
Have it squirt vodka.
Could you please use the words, Sarah, do you take Kevo to be your lawfully wedded husband?
He would probably do that, actually.
Right.
Don't tell him that. Don't tell the officiant. Or officiator. What is it? Efficient?
It depends on whether or not they're efficient or not.
Don't tell him that, because if he says it, you're going to ruin the whole wedding. You single-handedly will take this wedding down.
I'm not going to do that. I don't want that to happen. Is there any reluctance from any member of your family or Sarah's family that it's not somebody with some religious bent to them doing the ceremony?
I don't think so. I think we're pretty... maybe,
I don't think so,
maybe
which
they're
means
not telling
they didn't
us,
care.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have families of different backgrounds, so we just kind of want to avoid that whole thing anyway.
Because I'm not religious, and my wife isn't very religious. She's more than me, but everybody's more than me. We didn't want a member of clergy to do the wedding. We just wanted a justice of the peace. But I think I've told you this. We had to convince my father-in-law that there was a priest coming. He's just stuck in traffic, but he's coming.
To start your wedding off on a lie.
Yeah, when you say it that way, it sounds bad, doesn't it?
Little.
But that's the only reason. Like, if he had known going in...
He wouldn't have come.
I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have. And we had to... at the service, we go, luckily, one of our best friends is a justice of the peace, and it was this old guy that neither of us had ever met before. Luckily...
A friend of yours.
He's a friend of ours.
Was your father-in-law, like, checking his watch, going, I don't know, maybe you should hold off, he should be here.
It was so beautifully orchestrated. Like, we spent more time on this than at the rehearsal dinner. We were, like, planning on how to go up to him and go, Jim, we don't know what to do. I mean, we're supposed to get this thing started in 11 minutes. He's still not here. He just called. He's on the highway, and there's all kinds of traffic.
We got guests waiting.
All these people
want to
see the ceremony.
Time
what should
is
we
of
do?
The essence.
Well, I guess in a case like that, you just gotta your friend should do the ceremony. But I don't.
So you had him turn it around to make it seem like it was his.
Yeah.
You are a genius, a liar, but a genius.
Yeah.
So your friend was just conveniently ordained.
Well, this guy was like 82 years old, and
a
he bought
of
the
Bill's.
Fact. He's a friend. Of, where do you know him from? A foosball league. He's in my foosball league. That guy. He's a judge too. Did I mention he's a judge? So he'll do it. I mean, he's here anyway.
I had to do, you know, being a Catholic, and Jim is Catholic as well, we had to do the whole pre-Cana thing, and we had to interview. I wanted to get married at St. Mary's in Riverside because all my sacraments were there.
Oh.
I was christened there. My parents were married there. My mom's funeral was there. It's like I really wanted St. Mary's. So we went to pre-Cana, which means before Cana.
Before Cana. I was a film student. I went to Citizen Cana.
We went to the St. Mary's pre-Cana, but I brought in a priest from another precinct.
From another precinct? Really?
That just sounded better than
a
parish.
Precinct.
Yes.
All right.
Father Hal Stanger, who was at various other churches, and I think Steve Bertrand actually knows him. He's a friend of radio. He used to be on Johnny B's show all the time.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah, Father Hal.
I do know who that is.
So we wanted him to marry us, but it had to be in my church. So we did the pre-Cana at my church, and when the priest said... And, you know, you had to answer all these things, and it's like, do you guys live together? And it was completely silent. And you could see the smoke coming out of Jim's ears, and my wheels were turning, and I'm like, do I start this out with a lie to a priest where I just fess up and risk not being able to get married in this church? And I said, yeah, you know what? We just moved in together.
Oh, you did?
And I admitted it.
How did he react to that?
Nothing.
Was that completely accurate? You had just moved in together?
Not exactly just, but fairly recently.
Like months, years?
Maybe a couple months.
So it was a fib, but not a lie.
It was, what did Ryan Lochte say?
Ryan Lochte just texted in. It was an embellishment. That's what Ryan Lochte said, line three.
Just a little bit. Yeah. I told him we lived together. And
he didn't scold you for that?
No. He said thank you for being honest. And this was 18, 19 years ago.
I'm surprised there was no kind of backlash.
And we were really scared because I flat out said, you know what? I am in a quandary right now because I don't want to lie to a priest and I don't want to start our wedding off on our marriage off on a lie.
My future radio partner did. Did you say that?
No, you were married first, so I could have said that.
Yeah.
But I just said, I don't want to start it off on a lie, but I don't want to not be able to be married in this parish. And you know what? Yeah, we live together.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, okay,
don't
just
you think,
yes or
though,
no will suffice. I don't need a story.
I know this was 19 or 20 years ago, but I would imagine a little prior to that and right up until today, they're so used to hearing that. I mean, I know there was a time where for a priest to hear, wait, the two of you are not married, but you're living together? What? I'm sure there was a time where that was real, but now they must hear that every day, right?
Yeah. It was harder to tell my mom.
I was going to say, were you talking about Hal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. It was a different priest. Oh. Hal already knew. Hal, yes. That's his tagline. That's what it says on the back of his robe. God, please don't strike me
down.
You're
in so much trouble. I'm going to move away from the window. All right, a quick break, then more of this sort of discussion. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're 312-981-7200. Calls are already lining up. Be patient. We'll be back in a minute. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Big wedding coming up in a month. Sarah and Kevo are getting married. He's our producer, and his nickname is Kevo. I didn't know that until today.
Have you ever had a nickname?
Billy Silly.
What? I'm sorry, Kevin?
Billy Silly from last week. I think we were talking about that.
Oh, yeah. I know you had Willie Lump Lump.
When I was a child, my head was misshapen.
What do you mean when you were a child? Is that why you wear a baseball cap all the time?
I don't think we need to go into specifics. But the doctors assured my parents that within a few years, my head would grow to be more human-shaped. How encouraging would that have been for a parent to hear that? How long will that take? A couple days? 3, maybe 4 or 5 years at the most. So, yes, because of the two oddly shaped lumps on my head.
Gave you that endearing name?
I think my dad came up with that.
That's not a nice name.
It's not a nice name. Willie Lump Lump. That sounds like a Dick Tracy villain.
It does.
Doesn't it? Yeah. I don't know why they, but they thought it was adorable. But they're not the ones with misshapen heads. It was me.
It's weird because, you know, the babies have that fontanelle, that soft spot.
Yes.
And a lot of times, you know, going through the birth canal, it makes you look like an alien baby.
Right.
Michael, who just started senior year in high school, he had a cone head and everybody's like, oh, yeah, you can watch it transform before your eyes. And it didn't. And they put a little hat on them when they're born to keep the heat in.
Yes.
And the lady came around to take the portraits, and she whipped the little beanie off. I said, put that hat back on his cone head. So his baby picture, he has a hat on.
In my baby pictures, you can't tell if it's me or Blob from Cartoon Town. We have a whole photo album that just it says question mark on the front. It's either Bill's or Blob's from Cartoon Town. We don't know.
Did your brother have a round head?
His was perfectly shaped. I think my parents did it just for laughs. I think I was like the first modeling clay or something for them.
All right, so Willie Lump Lump was, yeah. And that didn't really stick.
No, I'm kind of glad. I'll be honest with you. You'd think you'd want a name like that, but I did not.
I just have Wendello. That's what my family
calls
me.
That's not a bad name.
Because of the boats.
Right. You should get a discount when you go down there, by the way. They should give you 10% off.
I know. Jim, our producer Kevin, is getting married, and Bill's making fun of his nickname.
Okay, when our son was born, his name is Christopher. His sister said, Crit Hopper, and Hopper stuck.
Oh, that's cute.
Everybody calls him Hopper. The only eight people, his eighth grade, 8 years of elementary school, are the only persons who called him Chris or Christopher. It was Hopper. That was it. Wedding invitation went out, Hopper. So that during the ceremony, when they used his legal name, Christopher, there was actual laughter in the congregation.
And no one knew him as that.
Nobody knew him. I mean, relatives had made out like bonds and checks over the years for gifts to Hopper Oler because that's his name.
Sure.
Well, that's, yeah. I don't get the Hopper.
Because she couldn't say Christopher, so the second part of Christopher is.
Crit Hopper.
All right, because I know Topher Grace.
Right.
Was Christopher, and they used that.
Right.
I didn't understand the Hopper, but I think it's really cute.
Yes.
And Topher Grace is called Topher because Jim's daughter couldn't pronounce Topher Grace. It's weird, isn't it? So many people have that in common.
Nor could her father.
All right, so you understand the nickname thing, and Bill should not be laughing at
Kevo.
No, Kevo.
I should not.
Clearly.
No, I'll stop.
He can go by whatever he wants.
All right, that's fair.
Thank you, Jim.
Right, thanks, Jim.
Have a good day.
You as well. I will admit.
Yes.
Now, I knew he was called Kevo, but I will admit, usually, you know, on a wedding invitation, you, like,
it's
if
more
your name,
formal.
Yes, like if your name's Bill, which
right.
It is, you would put William.
Right.
My name's Wendy, so they would put Wendy.
Right, because it's the more formal version.
But Jim was James.
Font. Right. Yeah.
So it was a little like, whoa, that's cool.
I didn't know what to make of it, Wendy. I panicked.
Well, it says my actual name higher up on the
invite. Well, right, on
the
actual,
yeah.
You know.
In letters much bigger than Sarah's, by the way. Isn't that strange? Look at how
really?
Much, look at how much space Kevin's name takes up, and then
there
Sarah's
are more
takes
letters,
up.
You know, leave it
yeah,
to Bill.
I would have made it smaller just to make it more seem more equal.
No, you'd stay with the same size font for both of them. It's just Kevin Richter has more letters.
It seems more showy to me. I would have made. I would have compensated and said, you know, if we're going
to
start life as partners, equal partners, let's make the size of our names. His name is like three times the size of Sarah's. That's
it's longer. It's not the font isn't bigger.
That's how Kevo is. That's how he rolls. Like Kevo.
Thank God Terry did the invitations for your weddings.
I know.
You'd still be making the decisions.
I'd almost be done.
I don't know.
I know. I'd almost be done. All right, we need to take a quick break, and then a lot more coming up on the show. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Dance you into.
You can do it.
Sunlight?
I think so. I think so.
Moonlight?
I think it's sunlight.
Dance the night away. That's
right.
What you're going to be doing at Kevo's wedding. Is that why you played it, Kevin?
Yeah.
No, it's more clever than I am.
That's not true. You're Kevo. Can we talk about something that just leave something well enough alone?
All right.
That's what I would like to happen. But Harambe is all over the place.
From the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was shot dead when a toddler got into the enclosure.
Right.
And for fear that Harambe was going to hurt the toddler,
yeah.
They shot him dead.
Yeah.
And I feel...
Awful story.
I know.
I prefer
euthanized.
Euthanized.
No, they shot him dead. They really did. And Bill, you and I were talking about it. And again, everybody criticizes you for not being an animal lover. You're just, you and I were talking about it. And it's like, here's just this gorilla sitting there hanging out, looking for a banana or whatever it is he does.
Right.
Some foreign object a kid.
A child in this instance, yeah.
Comes into the enclosure and now he's no longer living. It's through tragic.
No fault of his own.
I know.
First of all, he didn't ask to be in the zoo in the enclosure. Second of all, he's just having a day. That's it. And then the kid comes in and he's dead. It's very sad.
And when did this happen?
Oh,
do we know the exact
ago.
Date? Because I know in July they started this thing, which I didn't know about because I'm a older woman. But
yes, you are, Wendy. It's good to hear you finally admit it.
You're an older man.
I'm not.
We're the same age.
Are we?
You're 6 months younger than I am.
You're a different generation than I am. I try to understand your ways, but I have a hard time.
There was a thing that came out, and it was a little blue, so I can't say the exact word, but it was showing support for Harambe.
Yeah.
And it was a certain part of your body out for Harambe. And my kids told me about it, and I'm like, that's crazy. Why would somebody do it? Why would they start this thing? But it was just to say, you know, we're showing support for Harambe. The guy from Danny Trejo. Is that his name? Yes.
A one-time guest on this show.
Right.
Yeah.
Whom you hugged.
I did hug him.
Him and Stevie Van Zandt. There are very few people you hug, but those are the two guys
right.
you did.
Right.
Well, Danny Trejo supported that appendage is out for Harambe. And now
Can I ask, because I still don't understand.
I don't know really
I don't
what
know
it
the
means.
Significance of why that. Do you? I don't know why.
I really don't know. To me, it was just, you could have put... round of applause for Harambe.
Right.
You could have put something else.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they chose
But
this.
It went viral and everybody was tagging it, hashtagging it on everything. Well, now news that came out, I believe, yesterday is Harambe's back. He has risen.
In a way.
Well, thanks to a Twitter hack.
Right.
The world's favorite dead gorilla came back to life when someone hacked the Twitter account for the Cincinnati Zoo director, Thane Maynard, on Saturday. And it turned into a Harambe heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This from the New York Daily News. The hacker replaced Maynard's profile picture with a picture of Harambe, the silverback gorilla who was shot and killed at the zoo in May. That's when it happened. After a child fell into his enclosure. The hacker then spewed a series of Harambe-loving tweets, including one of the internet famous hashtags, which I like, justice for Harambe,
mm-hmm.
and then the other one, appendages out for Harambe.
Yes. Also good.
No, it is not good. An online petition wants, Harambe, the tweets attributed to the hack to a user with the handle @prom, whose name is listed as Bones. And it was still ongoing on Sunday, the gorilla lover telling zoo workers to beg for the account back. So he's making them beg to get their own account back.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
That's not nice.
Is this a good way to remember this animal who died in vain? I'm not sure that this is effective or not, is it?
I don't know how that movement started. That's
positive.
All I'm telling you. I like the justice for Harambe, but
right.
none of the younger set were doing the justice
right.
for Harambe.
That's very true. Very, very true. I have another animal story for you, Uncle Larry, if you want to hear it.
Yes.
This is, you know, you've pointed this out in the past. I have a weird, even though I'm not an animal lover per se, I have a weird kind of a love of abnormal animal things, right?
You like the freaks. You like weird things they find under the sea or Loch Ness Monster kind of thing or the Bigfoot.
Yeah. The slightly abnormal things from the animal world. Well, in Maine, where I just got back from, in Westbrook,
Maine. A giant lobster. That is heaven for you.
You're not far off.
You would wrestle it and you would eat it.
You're not far off. Police in the Maine town of Westbrook are warning the public that a large snake spotted earlier this summer may still be around after a large snake skin was found near a boat launch. Now, when I say that to you, how large of a snake or a snake skin are you thinking?
I'm thinking 6 feet.
You'd be wrong.
12 feet?
10. A 10-foot snakeskin.
Anaconda. Didn't you see that movie?
I did, but I thought it was fiction. I didn't think it was real. CBS Portland affiliate WGME reports that a citizen contacted the police after finding the snakeskin Saturday in a riverbank park. This is along the Presumpscot River. In a Facebook post, Westbrook police say, until this type of snake is determined... And we can assess. I'm sorry.
You put the ass in assess.
That's not nice, but it's true. Until we can figure out the safety risk, he said, so that I wouldn't make fun of the word assess. We caution people who recreate along the Penobscot River to remain alert, maintain a safe distance from any wildlife, and report any sightings of snakes to the Westbrook Police Department. If I see a 10-foot snake, here's how I alert everybody, by screaming like a 5-year-old girl at the top of my lungs.
That's pretty giant, and I imagine its circumference is pretty
ginormous,
too.
I can't even imagine.
But imagine,
and because I can't say assess, I will not say circumference on the air. I refuse to.
Yes, you might change the word.
Right.
Imagine, though, you're walking in Maine.
Yes.
And you see this snake skin. Do you know we could see a pair of shoes,
yes,
a belt, and a handbag?
You could make that into an entire outfit.
Without hurting a snake.
Right.
He just shed his skin.
I've already contacted Tim Gunn to see if he can work on an outfit with me.
An outfit.
In late June, WGME reported that police saw a 10-foot-long snake eat a mammal, which was likely a beaver, and then swim across the Penobscot River. I just said the word Penobscot more times in one day than I ever have before, Wendy. And
do
then,
you know how big a beaver is?
Yeah.
I'm serious. About this snake had to be...
To get that in your mouth, if you're a snake, think about how wide an opening you'd have to have.
I bet the snake was as thick as like your tire on the car.
Probably. I wouldn't be shocked by that. After eating the beaver, it then disappeared into the brush. Residents were alarmed because children swim and feed ducks in the area. The snake.
We got another Disney going on.
Oh, man. The snake was then quickly dubbed either Wessie, because of Westbrook, or the Penobscot Python, which was your wrestling name when you and I first met. My parents took me to the cheap wrestling match behind the Target.
You really rescued her, didn't you?
Yes.
You pulled her out of that.
Thank God.
I did.
Right out of the ring.
I did.
I'll never forget that day.
Thank you, Steve. By residents and by social media, authorities speculated that it was a pet that had either escaped or been released. Wessie's local popularity even spawned a mock Twitter account.
I'm telling you, you got to love the Twitter accounts.
Right. Because people don't want to believe that a snake is tweeting, right?
No, it's just funny.
The snake skin will now be tested to determine what type of snake shed it. I know a kind. A huge one.
Yeah.
I just figured that out in my lab.
And you have a lab?
I got my own lab now. And if the snake is a threat to the public, I know I don't get to vote in this, but I'm going to vote yes. A 10-foot snake is a menace to the public.
Yeah, but, you know, you're bigger than a beaver. It's the harder.
Thank you for saying that. You're very kind. Thank you.
And it depends. If it's a constrictor, it will squeeze you to death. If not, you don't have to be afraid of it.
If you saw, seriously, if you saw any snake, like there's no time to figure out if you're on its like or do not like list. I would panic no matter what. I panic when I see a gardener snake and they're not even close to 10 feet.
Don't go back to Maine.
No.
That's all I got
to
tell you.
I know. I'd be trying to throw lobster rolls at it. Stay away. Stay away.
Then I know you're scared because you don't share lobster
right.
with me or Kevin.
That's
but you
what
would
it's
throw
serious.
It at a snake.
This must be serious. He's tossing lobster roll pieces. All right. We have to take a quick break. Stick around. A lot more show ahead. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. How about this, Wendy? In Germany, they're doing a thing now. At some restaurants, not at all restaurants, but at some restaurants in Germany, if you don't finish all the food that you order, you must pay a fine. Does that seem fair to you?
All right. Can I just ask you a question?
Yes.
When you were little,
yes,
didn't your parents make you clean your plate?
Yeah, that was kind of standard fare for a long time when, as a child, that if you didn't eat all your food, there was you paid the price somehow.
You had to, you know, because there are kids starving elsewhere, and every kid said, okay, let's get a big old manila envelope, put the food in there, where do we send it?
Send it to them.
But we had a kitchen table where there were two chairs on one side, and then the side against the wall was a bench.
Yeah.
So it was hard to get out. Unless you finished your dinner.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'm finished. No, clean your plate. So there were times that they would leave me sitting there until I finished my plate, and I would try to climb underneath to get out. It's no wonder I have a weight problem. They made me finish my dinner.
Well, I think what you just said, I think is the reason that that kind of went away, is that doctors figured out that we lived in a nation where you had to do that, and then we were all getting bigger as a society, and somebody said...
It was getting harder to go underneath the table.
I know.
But honestly, my mom would wait. I mean, it would be 8 o'clock, and you still sitting there?
That long?
Yeah.
All right. There were two things that my parents tried on my brother and myself. Number one, similar to what you said, which is you're not going, if you're here all
clean
night,
your plate.
You're going to be here all night. You're staying there until all the food is gone. They tried that for a while. Then they also tried a thing where, and I know this will make my parents sound mean, and they weren't mean.
No, they were not at all.
They were not mean people. But sometimes my mom would make some sort of food that either I didn't like or my brother didn't like.
That's mean.
So then, oh yeah, to give kids food they don't like?
No,
that part?
For you to say she wasn't a good cook. That?
She was a good cook if it was the right thing, but sometimes she'd experiment.
If it was the right thing.
Go, what is this? Is this a bird or Jell-O? I don't know what this is. So then what they would do then is they would take what we didn't eat and put it in the refrigerator, and then the next night you got that same food again because magically you would like it overnight, I guess. I'm not sure why that made sense.
I'd rather sit at the table till 8 o'clock at night.
I like that one better, too, because I'm a night person. I could honestly, I could stay up later than both of them, so right. Let's try this and see what happens.
I did that once with my daughter.
It was about clean your plate? Or
maybe the stupidest thing I ever did as a parent. I said, you have to eat one green bean.
Yeah.
You have to eat one green bean.
And she threw down and wouldn't have one green bean.
She wouldn't have it, and she went to her room, and it was so
awful over food.
It was stupid.
But that's
isn't
getting
that
back
terrible?
To your story. But that I mean, that's what our parents told us.
I know.
You had to clean your plate.
I know.
Now, they should be sorry that we cleaned our plate.
I know. It's come back to haunt them. Here's the story. This is on MSN.com. Some restaurants in Germany fine customers who fail to finish food. Several restaurants in Germany have come up with a novel way to reduce food waste. Condé Nast Traveler reports that the restaurants, which include two Japanese restaurants and a Chinese-Mongolian restaurant, for some reason, I don't think of having Asian fare in Germany. Like, if I went to Germany, although I guess if you live there and you like Chinese food or Japanese food, you have to have an alternative. But if I was traveling there, I don't know that I would go for the Chinese food or the Japanese food. Would you?
You get burned out on schnitzel.
Yeah. I guess you do.
I'm going to get that on my bumper sticker.
That's
I kind of like
bumper
that.
Bumper sticker.
You get burned out on schnitzel.
Who's going to disagree with that? All right. So these restaurants, the Japanese restaurants I told you about and the Chinese Mongolian restaurant, have started fining customers who fail to finish their meals. The idea is not to make an extra buck off the stuffed patrons, but to encourage them to only order what they are able to eat. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, but it's none of the restaurant's business. Don't they just want you to order too much and then take it home?
Probably.
You pay more money. Your bill's higher.
You know where I see this happen to some extent? I'm sure you've been to a buffet at some point where people, they go that initial time and they load up on food and then they go back a second time because a lot of the buffets are all you can eat. And you see like midway through that second course, it's like, oh, I picked too much. And then they leave all that extra food.
Yeah, that's why I just go, I do maybe 5 or 6 rounds. I'll do a little salad. But
do you do 6 rounds?
That's all I do.
Wow.
I mean, my husband will just put like 15 various items on one plate.
Sure.
I'm going to do a little salad.
Yeah.
And then I'll go sit down and eat the salad. Then I'll go back and check out what's there.
Plus it's exercise going up and down and up and down.
Yeah, but I don't like my food to touch.
Oh.
So, you know, I don't want the potatoes to mix with the
spaghetti.
Hard
to pull it off at a buffet. Very hard.
That's why I go up 5 or 6 times.
Don't go see Sausage Party.
I have to see that, by the way.
There's a lot of food mixing there, I think.
Yeah, but that's funny food mixing.
Do you screen talk during that movie? I bet you would.
I will.
Don't touch those potatoes. Really
oh,
loud.
No, you didn't.
At Uolki in Stuttgart, I just spoke bad Japanese and German in the same sentence. Customers who don't finish the food that they take from the restaurant's all-you-can-eat sushi buffet will now be charged $1.15 as
well,
part of the restaurant's...
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the buffet part. Yeah, I agree with that. Because if you just load up and you're just wasting food.
But here's a little scam that my grandmother and her friends invented in Florida years ago, and grandparents all over the world have figured this out.
Is this the grandparent scam?
This is the grandparent scam. I'm blowing the cover off of it. I'm John Quinones. Here's what they do. They go to a buffet, they buy the first round of food, and then you can go back as many times as you want.
Right.
And then they get a whole bunch of extra food that they conveniently can't finish, and they just say, could you please wrap this up?
No one gives you a doggy bag at a buffet.
If you're a grandmother, though, if you give the grandmother
face...
I'd be
mean to grandmothers. I know they're scam.
Scam-ma. We didn't even call my grandmother grandma. We called her scam-ma.
And then if they said, can we look in your purse, you'd find crackers, you'd find butter, you'd find the salt and pepper shaker, maybe even the sugar thing.
And a vote for Herbert Hoover sticker. How long has this been in here, Scamma?
Erased Nixon tapes.
Yeah, they're in there. They're in there. Pictures of Lyle Wagner with lipstick on them.
Well, I have one of those. That's not just
I do, too. I love Lyle Wagner.
They are charged $1.15 because evidently a dollar wouldn't teach them a lesson. They tried it with a dollar and nothing happened. All right, we'll make it $1.15 and see how you like it. This is part of that restaurant's new eat up or pay up policy. Customers tend to overload their plates during the two-hour buffet.
2 hours?
That does seem long, doesn't it? That does seem long. While the $1.15 fee is unlikely to break any wallets, restaurant owner Guyu Luyan...
Yeah, right.
He practices before the show. You
he does practice nothing.
You're jealous. Hopes that it will help remind people not to waste food.
It's Who said that?
Guyu Luyan. One of my favorite... German restaurant tours.
What are his other spots, Bill? Do you remember?
No, I don't. It's fun to say.
This is the part of the show that all goes to hell.
Well,
it really
you know, I
does.
Blame Guyu Luyan. I do. No, we were
him.
Fine until Guyu Luyan jumped
oh,
in.
Oh, my God.
It's called All You Can Eat, not All You Can Chuck Away, he told the newspaper.
Who told the newspaper?
Guyu Luyan.
We have to take a break. Oh my God.
I'm not taking a break. All I'm going to sit here until all your food is gone. All right.
I'm
we'll be back.
Charge you.
We've got news coming up in just a little bit. And then Guyu Luyan.
No, you messed it up now. It's Guya.
Sister.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Earlier today, just moments ago, we were talking about our parents wouldn't let us leave the table until we finished our food.
Seems cruel, doesn't it?
It doesn't really. They were trying to teach us, you know what? My mom probably was like, you know, I've prepared this dinner. You will sit there and you will eat it.
And you will like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it is a slap in the face when I work really hard to make dinner.
Sure.
And then somebody goes, oh, yeah, I don't really like that. Yes, you do. And you will eat it.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem.
So, Steve, you mentioned you felt guilty because you got in a fight with your daughter over one single green bean.
Well, I just said you need to eat one bean before you leave. It was just stupid, wasn't it? I felt
and
guilty
the
afterward.
The point
like,
of that is what exactly? Just you have to at least try it to
right,
decide you
overcome,
don't like it.
Just try something new. It was just a nutty parental standoff thing.
Sure.
It was a bad idea.
You know, I do believe in, you know, reprimanding your kids when necessary. The bottom line is you try and teach them right from wrong and to be nice to others.
Mm-hmm.
But there really are some stupid throwdown fights I've had that are really stupid.
Of course.
Really stupid.
Yep.
Another green bean incident. Karen, how are you?
I'm great. And I just want to say first, between Cochran, you guys, Bertrand, Roe, Anna, I laugh all day.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you, Karen. We appreciate that.
I get more information from you guys.
No, not us. It's usually the other shows.
Well, whatever. Anyway.
Well, thank you very much, Karen.
I am a WGN fan forever. My great nephew was 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
went to a very progressive preschool where they learned a new big word every week and learned how to say it and how to use it in a sentence and all of that. And one night, his father, he said, I'm done eating. And his father said, no, you haven't finished what's on your plate. And he looked his father in the eye and said, I'm a little apprehensive about the green bean.
That's awesome.
So much more impressive than saying I don't like them. If you say you're apprehensive.
I know, he says, I'm a little apprehensive about the green beans. And his father, trying to choke back his tonsils, went, well, son,
I can't have you going to bed apprehensive.
Beautiful. That's hysterical.
That's how it should have been handled, Bertrand. Kidding. Karen, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you guys.
Absolutely. We're here for you. Thanks, Karen. Take care.
Kevin wants to say something, too. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bill and Money, you guys are always the best. And
oh,
Bill,
thanks.
The last segment was very good.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. So, Dad, as we were growing up, he was always about, he was in the military, so it was always about a square meal.
Right.
So, straight up and then straight to your mouth.
Sure.
But everything was going to be gone. And what he would tell us was, you know, he'd sit there with us if it took hours. He said, it's going to be gone, and if you don't eat it tonight, you're going to eat it tomorrow morning for breakfast.
Just like your...
Isn't that something? That seems so cruel, doesn't it?
It made you eat it, though, didn't it, Kevin?
It did. It did. Whether like the last caller, whether I liked it or not,
yeah.
Or whether I didn't feel comfortable about it, yes, it was the lesser of two evils was just to eat it.
Although I think of your father at this moment, because when a parent does do this throwdown and it's like, I'm going to sit with you till you finish it. And then three
right.
hours later, it's like, why did I say I was going to sit here with you?
Right.
And what was he missing? That was always my thought.
Yeah.
What am I making him miss? If a football game is on, I'm really going to get his goat.
Well, my dad figured out at some point I could just have you, meaning me, you can just sit there at the table. I can go on with my life, and it's just you and the food that you're not eating. But initially, it was, we're going to sit together.
That's when you stuck the food in your pocket.
Right.
Or, you know, yeah. And then walked away. Oh,
I had
good.
Done. Had you ever try that?
I'd spit it in a napkin.
Yeah. Oh. You hide the food somewhere?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's how I lost my retainer, too, because I wrapped it in a napkin, and she threw it out. Kevin, thank you very much for calling. Fran has a way in which she got her kids to eat food. Hi, Fran. Isn't this crazy to have to make your kids eat something?
Well, no, but I got this. This isn't my idea, but I got it from one of those goofy parenting books, which you should do a whole program on. What goofy stuff did they tell you to do? But this actually worked for my kids, and I have four. And but I would say, before you leave the table, because I'd be like, oh, I like this, you know, they didn't like anything mm-hmm. that I put down, you know, and I cooked it. And so
you
I
cooked
said,
it.
Well,
what do you mean you didn't give them raw chicken or something?
No. But it's like, I mean, I made the meal, so you need to sit down and try it. So I would just say, how old are you? And they go, four. And I'd say, okay, four bites and you can leave the table. And they did it.
That seems fair. And then five, when they were five, they had to have five
bites. And then they
were
five, and then we got nine, and then they got seven, you know, and it all, and when they were 10, and then they were 15, well, by 15, I don't even have to worry about it. But
now when they visit for holidays, it's a problem, isn't it?
Can't make enough food.
Oh, God, no.
42 bites, and you can leave the table.
Yeah, really. But it's all gone. No, it's all gone.
Well, that's a good idea.
It's a great method.
Really, and it works. And then, really, but you got to stick to it. Three bites, you're off the table. And they're like, okay. But you'd see once they tried it, they liked it.
Sure, of course.
That's really the gist of it. It's like, if you try it and tell me I hate it, no problem. But so many times kids will finally break down and try it and go, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, it's not so bad. But go their age, because they got to tell you, you know, and then they'll do it. They'll do it. And then, but like I said, you got to stick to it. If they're three and they only want three bites, it's like, okay, then you obviously aren't hungry.
No. I like it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fran.
Although, her method is an interesting one. Although, my parents always used to say, they would put down some food and I would look at it and I'd go, I'm not going to eat that. And they'd go, you can't look at a food and tell if you're going to like it just by the way it looks. Except I can.
Everybody can.
You can look at something and just go, just based by the way that looks, I know I'm not going to be able to enjoy that.
I am not a white gravy person.
No.
Okay? Like biscuits and gravy are not for me. So if I look at that and it looks like something I regurgitated on the plate, I am not going to eat it.
We just lost all of our white gravy sponsors. I hope you're happy.
Well, I'm married to a woman from Mississippi, and she likes her biscuits and gravy. I can't have
you're
that white gravy.
You're married to a woman from Mississippi?
No, I'm sorry. My mother-in-law. No. That's not for air.
Unburden
that is not for air.
That was interesting.
No,
right.
My mother-in-law. My family.
All right.
My in-law family.
She would be your family.
Yeah. Yes, that would
be it.
You're
not married to her.
No. I married her son. That's what I did.
Oh, that's even weirder.
Oh, shut up, Bertrand. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I love your show. Just,
thank you.
So you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. We love you, just so you know.
Wendy would leave the woman she's married to from the South for you.
Yeah, yeah. You're killing me, Bill. Jimmy Mack was just a cover.
Yes. Anyway. I really was in love with his mother. Well, see, now
that,
it's out.
That happens. I used to watch One Life to Live.
Yeah, you had a nerve with me because... Irish Catholic, we had mashed potatoes 5 nights a week, you know, and it just was a regular staple. And, you know, as kids, we got sick of them. And, my brother stuck them in his pocket the one time when then excused himself and went into the bathroom and dumped the whole thing into there. You know? I think he got caught, too. But
did you rat on him, Bernie?
I did not rat on him. Not that time, anyway.
That's hysterical.
Thank you so much.
It's true. Eat everything on your plate.
You're supposed to.
I know. That's what we were taught.
Thanks, Bernie, so much. But it became almost an art form. Like if you'd get some kind of food that you didn't want to eat or finish, the art of timing it so that you would put it on the fork, pretend like it was going to your mouth, watch your parents to see if they were diverted by something, and then drop it in a napkin. It was like a well-choreographed dance almost, you know?
I got to be honest with you, and this is part of my problem. I didn't really turn down anything.
Oh, you didn't?
I would try anything. But remembering the story of you and the tongue.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't trust your parents for anything, especially after that.
We have, for people who don't know, once a month we would have tongue, and then at some point after eating it for years, I asked my parents what it really was.
And you had eaten it?
I had eaten it every month from the time I was a little kid till I was about 7 or 8. And I said, I know we call it tongue because it's the color of tongue, but what is it really? And they said, well, it's tongue. And I go, no, it's not. It looks like a tongue, but
you wouldn't
give me something that's been in somebody else's mouth to eat for dinner. And it was tongue, and then I could never eat it again. I was done with tongue, but they would still make it once
a
month. they would still put it on the table, and I'd have to find every excuse in the world to not eat it.
Yeah,
I'd go,
can't.
Don't we have stamps we can use this on to lick stamps or something? Why are we having it for dinner?
You should have gotten stamps and just put it all over it.
Yeah, I'll get our Christmas cards done during dinner.
Oh, that's fun at the Leff household.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, quick break. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
A little while ago here on the show, we started telling you what's going on in Germany, where some restaurants have now adopted a policy by which if you go to a buffet in Germany, now for some reason this seems to be only at Asian-themed restaurants, Japanese restaurants and Chinese-Mongolian restaurants in Germany, but if you go there and you don't eat all the food that you put on your plate, you are charged an additional $1.15.
That's really nothing.
It's not a lot, is it?
It should be $1.15 an ounce.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
They should weigh what you haven't
eaten. That would
make
a lot more sense. So this has spawned a conversation about the eating habits of us Americans, mostly kids, but not entirely kids.
All right, and our kids had diversions to food. We kind of spun off on that. And Tina, not just kids, but sometimes husbands have an aversion to food.
Yes, yep, absolutely. And, you know, which has been a problem with our kids because, of course, they see daddy not wanting to eat stuff. But back when I was dating my husband, it used to drive me nuts. Like, I love Chinese food. My mom took a class to learn how to make it. We would have it on a regular basis and go out for it on a regular basis, and he never wanted to go out for Chinese food. Well, after I got engaged to him, I moved back home, and one night my mom goes, well, why don't you invite Fred over for dinner? And I go, well, what are we having? Because, of course, I know he's not going to come just for me. It's going to be the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, sweet and sour pork.
Mm.
Like, oh, crap, he's not going to come because he's not going to want to eat that. But I call him up and I invite him over, and he, of course, goes, well, what are you having? And I say, pork.
He good
goes,
move.
Oh, yeah.
Very
he
good.
Goes, oh, pork roast. I haven't had that in ages. Did not correct him. I'm like, yeah, honey, come on over. So he came over and he was, you know, out of the kitchen while my mom was making everything. He kept saying, oh, it smells so good. Sit down at dinner. She puts this beautiful plate of sweet and sour pork in front of him. And if looks could kill, he was looking at me like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this to me. And he went ahead though, being a good, you know, guest and future son-in-law. He took a bite and he was like, wow, this is actually really good.
It's really good.
It is really good.
It is really good. And come to find out or realize, you know, his mom had always made like the lochoy from the can.
That's not real Chinese food.
That's not real Chinese
food. Lochoy makes Chinese food.
Swing American.
American.
Yeah, that's not real.
Yeah. No. So
I wish so badly my in-laws would have made Chinese food in a meal. That would have been the best thing
homemade.
In the world. Oh, so good.
And she made pot stickers and homemade egg rolls and whole nine yards.
Do you have the recipes, Tina?
Yes, I do.
And have you tried it yourself, and is it as good?
Yep. You know, it takes a lot of time to make, like, pot stickers and egg rolls and stuff like that. It takes a lot of time.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's really good. And my kids like Chinese food, but they won't eat tomatoes, for example. Like,
you know
that's
what?
One thing.
I do not like hot tomatoes. My son just got sweet and sour chicken. We were out on Saturday night, and when he was getting it ready to put into the little container to bring home, I just said, go ahead and take the tomatoes out.
Yeah.
Tomatoes are meant to be off the vine and eaten with salt right then and there. I don't like them hot.
And not in Chinese food. You don't want them in Chinese food.
That's what
food.
I mean.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That's not a normal ingredient.
No.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, thank you for that, Tina.
Sure. You guys have a good day.
Thanks, Tina. You too.
You too. And I think we have time for one more. You had mentioned the tongue that your mom
served
up.
Yeah, we used to eat it once a month.
And I don't mean that in a dirty way.
No, none taken. No offense taken.
Hi, Dave.
Greetings and salutations.
What's up, Dave?
Pop culture reference to eating tongue from All in the Family.
Yes.
When Archie Bunker's presented with a tongue, he refuses, saying he didn't want anything that came out of a tongue out of a cow's mouth.
Yeah,
he says, and then he says, "Get me a couple of eggs." Of course, come from a chicken's, you know, posterior.
Right, a genius that Archie Bunker.
He was. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
Thanks, Dave.
It. My mother made what she called snake steak.
What is snake steak?
It was just flank steak that she cut into pieces that
really
looked
thin?
Like, yeah. So.
Oh, that sounds great, though.
And I would ask for it by name. I'd say, could we have some snake steak
but
tonight?
But you knew it wasn't snake.
Right.
Like, I trusted my parents up until that night. I believed that what they would give me would be something delicious.
Why would they call it tongue if it wasn't tongue?
Because it, like, to look at it, you
see
go,
the taste buds on it.
It looks just like a tongue.
Because it is.
How old were you when you asked him about the liver?
All right, we need to take a break. Good point, Steve. News is next, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's Bill and Wendy.
True.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Truer words
friend.
Have never been spoken. Wendy, I know you know who this is because you and I have talked to him and about him. Chris Hardwick,
love him.
Isn't he great?
Stand-up comic. He hosts Talking
three
Dead.
Shows. He hosts three different television
has
shows.
Has a podcast, The Nerdist. Yeah. Big fan of his.
He has a nightly game show that's on Comedy
does?
Central. Yeah. It just moved up a half hour because they bumped Larry Wilmore's nightly show. That's no longer on Comedy Central, so they moved up his game show. Chris Hardwick is a nice guy and a very funny guy. He just got married over the weekend, and I was shocked, number one, that he's getting married. Over the years, he's had a string of really beautiful, high-profile girlfriends.
I know. I'm surprised you like him because
I
you
love
speak
him.
Of his attractive ex-girlfriends frequently.
Yeah. He's done well for himself. But now he
not if they're all exes.
Except I think they end amicably because when I had him on the night show, I asked him about one or two of these girlfriends and he still keeps in contact with them. It doesn't end poorly after he's dated them, but he's dated a bunch of models and actresses. And for a guy who is a self-proclaimed nerd, and he's
very cute though. And girls like the inner nerd.
I think you're right.
You got married, didn't you?
I did. Yes, I did. To one of the Powerpuff Girls.
Your dreams came true.
My dreams came true. I married a Powerpuff Girl. Do you know who he married? Do you know who Chris Hardwick got married to on Saturday? This is very impressive.
No.
Lydia Hurst.
Not ringing a bell.
Whose mother is Patricia Hurst and whose grandfather or great-grandfather? Grandfather, I guess, would be William Randolph Hurst. He of the Hurst Mansion in California. Which is a pretty good property.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a home, it's a lot of closet
Maybe
space.
He'll live there with her.
I wonder.
So is she a model or something?
She is a model.
Well, that's why he married her, not because it's Patty Hearst's daughter.
All right. Here's why I bring this up. I bring this up because let's say it were you. I know you're already married to a woman from the South, but let's say you were not married to her. Wouldn't you, what, like, I don't know if a day would ever go by that it wouldn't strike me that I was married to Patty Hearst's daughter. Like, I would think about that all day, every day. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that come up all the time? It wouldn't?
No, if you fell in love.
I guess. I don't know. I would have a hard time not thinking about that. Like, I would just go, should we ask your mom, Patty Hearst, if she wants to come over? Like, it would be such a big deal for me to be married to her daughter.
Could you marry Elvis's daughter?
Oh, no, in a minute. Not even think twice. Not even think twice. If only Elvis's daughter knew how to smile.
She cannot smile.
She can't smile. She cannot. The stand-up comedian, Nerdist CEO, and talk show host Chris Hardwick wed his actress fiance Lydia Hearst on Saturday. That's according to People magazine. Hardwick, who's 44 years old. I didn't think he was that old, did you? 44? He looks way younger than 44.
The inner nerd will keep you young.
I think there's something to that.
Absolutely.
I do think there's something to that.
Again, look at you.
And Lydia Hearst, aged 31, said their nuptials in front of 450 guests. Is that how you say that? You say your nuptials?
Yeah.
I guess that's how you say it. I guess. It seems strange. Said their nuptials in front
of 400. That's a funny word. Just
nuptials.
Yeah.
We just had one. We couldn't afford more than one. We paid for our own nuptial. They said their nuptials in front of 450 guests.
It's of or relating to marriage or the wedding ceremony. Yeah, so that's what it'd be, your vows.
It just seems strange
nuptials.
To word it.
Nuptials.
But I hear nuptials, but I never heard say your nuptials.
It's actually nuptials.
Is it really? Is that
how you
say it?
It's I-A-L, isn't it?
Yeah, all right.
Nuptial.
Said it in Pasadena, California.
Yeah.
Hearst wore a custom-designed Christian Siriano gown, while the midnight host donned a custom Prada suit. This is going to be expensive, Wendy. Who's going to pay for all this?
Patty Hearst.
Both bride and groom share a love for science fiction. She doesn't look like she would be into science fiction as much as he does. I bet he's the one carrying that more than her.
There are a lot of women who are...
Models?
Who are models and who have inner nerds, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
it's
he
okay.
found one. Good for him. Even the florist Mark Held drew inspiration from the couple's favorite science fiction and comic book series. They had red roses at the wedding. They had TARDIS blue hydrangeas. You know what that means?
Yes, from Doctor Who.
Doctor Who's...
It's the phone booth kind
of
thing.
Yeah, the thing he travels through time in.
Right.
And Vanda orchids. I don't know what that means at all. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is that a type of orchid or is that a sci-fi term?
And I don't know what Vanda is. An orchid is a flower.
That's the woman from Wheel of Fortune.
That's Vanna.
These are just a few of the flowers that added a unique touch, again, to the nuptials. When asked what is the most important thing to have at a wedding, Hardwick told People magazine, you know, traditional things like zombies, Jawas, astromech droids, blue star donuts, and a TARDIS cake. How can you not love a guy like that?
And he says it proud, says it loud, says it proud.
I know.
That's what I enjoy about him. It's okay to be like that.
When I was a kid and I would accidentally come across, let's say, a copy of Playboy magazine. Let's say one was left out somewhere and I accidentally paged through it for hours. It always, if you looked at the Playmate's likes and dislikes.
Long walks on the beach, a guy with a sense of humor.
It was always, always, always a guy with a sense of humor. But then they'd show them like who they were dating, and it was never a guy like Chris Hardwick.
It's a guy who had no sense of humor.
It was always that guy. It was
even
always
though they wanted a guy with a sense of humor.
Some Yugoslavian right. soccer star.
Right, who could not smile.
Right. It was Elvis's son. Just before the wedding, Hearst told People magazine that she expects to be blissfully happy after the couple's big day.
That's the expectations you want going into a wedding.
Right.
Don't you? We're going to be blissfully happy.
Yeah.
You don't want the quote going, yeah, I don't think we're going to make it.
We'll see what happens.
Right.
We'll stay married for a few weeks, and if it works, we'll stay married beyond that.
Well, congratulations to Chris Hardwick.
I'm very happy for him. Even yesterday, I watched the, you know, it was the mid-season first episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes.
So then at the end, you have his Talking Dead. And he even said at the very beginning, you're watching this, but it's the first time we've pre-taped because I got married on Saturday, so I'm away on my honeymoon. So this was taped before the wedding.
And I like just, that he said this, it like that.
Yeah, he was very honest about it. And he had this glint in his eye like, hey, I got Lydia Hurst, huh? Things are pretty good.
Huh?
Things are pretty good. I'm proud of him. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more talk. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, the Cubs are doing well, aren't they?
You know, not last night.
Well,
they had a hard time with the Colorado
game.
Rockies. Last night was the first time the Cubs had been blown out in about a month and a half. They had lost a handful of games, but always by a run. And then last night, things did not go well for the Cubs. But I'm not worried at all.
I don't know what the minor leagues are, but have you heard of the Gateway Grizzlies?
No.
They are out in Saugat, Illinois. Have you ever heard of Saugat, Illinois?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I do not know where that is.
It's a village in St. Clair County, part of the greater St. Louis area.
Okay.
Oh, my God. The population in the 2010 census, 159 people.
Yeah, that's a small town, isn't it?
It is very small. But
is that enough people to even field a baseball team?
Evidently, there was a guy named Brandon Thomas, Gateway Grizzlies outfielder Brandon Thomas, experienced the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat on Sunday night all in one swing of the bat.
Yeah.
He hit a grand slam in the bottom of the second inning and smashed the windshield of a truck that was in the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, wow, that stinks. And then after the game, he went to get in his truck. It was his.
Oh, no. He broke his own windshield.
Yes. He went 2 for 5 on that day with 4 ribbies, took the matter in stride, tweeting, definitely worth it. The Grizzlies beat the Joliet Slammers 17-6. Now, I've heard of the Joliet Slammers.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
But the Grizzlies.
Wow, that's
a bit. Doesn't have the age of this guy.
Hmm.
It's not like Little League, is it?
No, this would be probably AAA, maybe AA, but probably AAA baseball. You know what I saw at the Cubs game on Saturday, and I didn't even know that this was a thing, but I guess apparently it is because I watched it happen. A member of the Rockies, now keep in mind the Cubs were playing in Colorado at Coors Field, so it was a home game for the Rockies and away game for the Cubs. So this guy on the Rockies hits a home run, and it's caught by a kid who's a Cubs fan in the bleachers. So the kid takes it, and then, like you would see at Wrigley Field, the kid throws the ball back on the field. Because it's a tradition at Wrigley, if the opposing team hits a home run, that's what they do. We've talked about it. You throw it back on the field.
And
right?
We've both admitted that neither one of us would have thrown it back.
No, I'd keep it.
If you catch a foul ball, or a home run especially, that's your baby.
Right. But the crowd gets on you. They pressure you to throw it back. But it's Colorado, so they're not pressuring him because one of their own player, hit a home run. But it's a Cubs fan. So he takes the ball, he waits a little while, and then he throws it back onto the field.
And this is all televised?
This is all, yeah. So then security at Coors Field comes and they say to the kid, you got to go. You don't do that here.
What?
That's the thing. No, they don't want you doing that. So they take the kid and the kid's dad, because the kid looks like he's 11 or 12 years old.
Did they have like his arms? Did they carry
like
him out
Hannibal
that
Lecter.
Way? Yes.
They put him on a cart and pulled him
no.
out with his mouth
but
all.
But they were escorting him out?
Yeah. It was a lady security guard. So then they're comment, the guys in the booth, they're oh, you can't kick a kid out. He caught a home run. So what happens is they take the kid away and they scold him. They say, you can't do that sort of thing. Maybe that goes on in Wrigley Field, but you're not in Wrigley Field. You're here at Coors Stadium. So then after a while, they let the kid and his dad back, and the kid gets a huge round of applause from the Cubs fans and the bleachers.
Of course.
But I never thought about that before, that
yeah,
if you're
you
in...
Can you be escorted out? I mean, what is...
It looked like they were going to kick him out. Apparently, and you know, sometimes if you read your ticket, like nobody reads the fine print on your baseball
there's
ticket.
There's stuff on the ticket?
Yeah, there's all kinds of rules on the back that... I've been to 1,000 baseball games. I've never read the back of my ticket. I don't know what it says. But apparently, it'll say, you know, at the discretion of the ballpark, if you're doing something we deem unruly, we can kick you out.
Okay, but A, that's not unruly. He didn't whip the ball at
someone. No, it wasn't right.
And you can't just make up rules. If it says on the ticket you will be kicked out if you throw a home run ball back, then you can.
I think I believe. Now, I've not read one of our local team's tickets, so there's no way I've read a Colorado Rockies ticket. But my guess is they say something extremely vague as if to say to you, if you do something that we, the owners of the stadium and the baseball team, don't think is good, we reserve the right to remove you from the stadium.
Well, that's not right.
No, I felt so bad for this kid because, like, in his eyes, he was doing the true Chicago Cubs fan thing. The wrong guy hit the ball, so I'm throwing it back on the field. But management saw otherwise. But I do give them credit. When all is said and done, they let him return to his seat. But he looks so... You know, when you're a kid, you're that age, and all of a sudden authority is on you.
Yeah,
and you go,
you're scared.
You get kicked out of a baseball game in front of everybody.
Well, I'll tell you, here's what happened. The kid caught a Nick Huntley line drive home run, bottom of the fifth inning. And as any level-headed Cubs fan would have done when they caught a home run from the opposing team, he threw it back, as Bill mentioned.
Yeah.
What he didn't expect was for him and his father to be promptly escorted from their seats due to the little-known rule at Coors Field. Here's the little-known rule.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, at no time should a foul or home run ball be thrown back on the field. Violators will be subject to ejection.
Now, does it say that on
the
ticket?
Not on the ticket.
It doesn't say it on the ticket.
No, they said it's a little-known rule, so how would you know that rule?
I guess they could pull out, you know, sometimes the police pull out this thing where they say ignorance of the law is no excuse. So I guess you could pull that out at a baseball stadium, too, and say just because you didn't know the rule doesn't mean that the rule can't be enforced.
That's a shame.
I know it is.
And the Rockies... people should be embarrassed at
right,
that.
Right, because who knows? You could have 1,000 rules that aren't clearly printed on your ticket. But this kid looks so, you know, it was this weird moment of being like, hey, I caught a home run and that's kind of cool. But then I threw it back on the stadium, on the outfield, because I'm not a fan of the Rockies. That's even more cool. To then all of a sudden this lady's hovering over him going, you kid, come with me.
That you can find the video, too, where he throws the ball back.
Yeah.
And maybe the Rockies, this is from Sports Mockery. I like the site. Maybe the Rockies should worry about a crappy pitching staff instead of preteens trying to enjoy a ball game, even though the Rockies appeared to let the kid finish out the game from his seat. But that's after he was escorted out. They let him come back.
They took him out for, I don't know, maybe a half an inning or so. And they didn't show where they took him or who talked to him.
To an interrogation room.
To an interrogation room. They took him to Gitmo.
Yeah.
And they waterboarded him. And then they gave him a ticket to the next game.
Even though the Rockies appeared to let the kid finish out the game from his seat, it's still kind of a bad move to pull the kid from his seat to enforce your weird policy. The silver lining of this thing is the fact that this kid probably gained about 1,000 new friends when they saw him return to his seat to watch his Cubs kick the heck out of the Rockies.
He got a huge, first of all, his dad, like, he came back and he was still shell-shocked because they kept showing
Wouldn't
him.
Would you be?
Yes, I definitely would be. So then they show his dad picks up his arm and raises it up like, oh, I'm a champion. You know, he wasn't doing it. It was his
dad
doing
it.
And then as he's doing that and he's coming back to the seat, everybody's applauding for him and stuff. But he wasn't smiling. He's like, hey, I'm already in enough hot water. The last thing I need is more attention right now.
And did he have a brother and sister with him, or is that his mom who's young and a dad with a try not to suck shirt on?
Yeah, that was his dad with the try not to suck shirt.
It looks like they're with the family here because there's Cubs fans. There's two other Cubs fans that are sitting with him.
In that area, the bleachers.
Is that common?
Yeah.
Rockies in particular, or just there's always some.
Wherever the Cubs have played for the last couple of years, but especially now that they've been winning so often.
Yes. The Cubs fans coming out of the woodwork in other cities.
You're seeing a lot of Cubs fans. So much so that in Milwaukee, and I know in Milwaukee it makes sense because of the... Yeah. I would say it was roughly two-thirds Cubs fans to one-third Milwaukee Brewers fans. And that's got to be weird if you're playing in your own home stadium and you're getting cheers are going to the opposite team.
Yeah,
in your
that
own
would
stadium.
Be bad. All right, Steve, we only have a minute here. This is a Major League Baseball rule about throwing the...
It's an MLB rule. It's on every ticket, every ballpark. Debris on the field. It could be a frisbee, a beach ball, a hot dog wrapper. It's on the ticket.
But clearly the Cubs don't enforce it. They encourage it.
Well, yeah, they're out of protocol for doing it, but it's not an enforced rule.
It's not debris, it's da ball.
Right. Good argument. You should be a lawyer,
Thank
Wendy.
You, Steve.
I bring you in to defend me in court with that.
Joe, you have what it says exactly on the ticket?
Yes, it does. It says the use of abusive language and interference with play, parentheses, including throwing debris or objects onto the field or entry into the playing field or drunken disorderly conduct are prohibited.
All right, there's two of those things I shouldn't be able to ever go to a baseball game.
And how ironic in a field called Coors Field, you're not allowed to be drunk. Come on.
Well,
that's not right.
And by the way, the Joliet Jackhammers,
yes,
are an independent league who are not affiliated with any major league team.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're just guys who like to play. They're just playing because they can play.
But some of those players could be picked up if a major league team takes a liking to them. They could sign them to some deal, a minor league deal or something.
Well,
right?
They could sign you if they liked what you were doing.
And they would probably go into A-ball.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
They're below A-ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a start. That's not bad.
Thanks, Joe, for the baseball talk. I appreciate
it. I would love to be doing it.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Have a good one. Well, there you have it. That's the rule. No debris, no foul language. Foul balls, not foul language.
That's the words to live by.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.